This is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
It's that time of week again here, 6 until 8 every Monday night, where we pick the bones out of another Rugby League weekend. Leeds in the bottom four after big wins for the Huddersfield Giants. Well done to them, securing a place in the Super 8s. Catalan followed suit on Saturday. And what about Wakefield? Richard Shaw Wright must be in absolute shock after his second favourite team battered Hull at the weekend. Richard's new favourite team is the Coventry Bears, who made it three wins on the spin in League One. But that's not the main story coming out of League One tonight. York City Knights beat the Bulls in front of over 6,400 people at Odsall Stadium. Who says there's no life in League One? And the Championship, Halifax continue to defy the odds. The London Broncos are one win away from a place in the top four. And Toulouse also need a point to secure their place. But Featherstone and Lee, are they going to miss out as a troubled times ahead for both those clubs? We'll discuss that and more. Noah Scoey, who after his London will finish 10th prediction, and then the Cougars getting beat at Keighley by Coventry, has gone for a lie down. He's not here. So we've invited John Davison in for an alternative input into our show this week. He joins Phil Kaplan in the studio. And the man that annoys all our listeners, whoever the support is, Richard Shaw Wright. This is Rugby League on Proper Sport. You want to get in touch at RL on our Y? You can get in touch via the Radio Yorkshire or Proper Sport Facebook page. This is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
You're listening to Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Good evening, how are we doing? Are we all right? Rich, are you all right? Have you? I mean, what a weekend. Well, Your two favourite teams in the world both winning. What a day.
Let me just throw it in there. If you're one of these people who've donated £70 to the Salford Red Devils, go get your edge checked.
They've got a goal
for 20. What are you going to buy with £20,000?
Rich Ben from Salford.
Sorry, you on that one. That's all. Oh, no, you're with Lee, aren't you? £20,000. What's £20,000 going to buy you?
I don't know. They've put an appeal out today.
Yeah.
What
I think Billy Slater's fingernail, maybe.
Yeah. Thanks to Tony for sending that picture, by the way.
The one week that you want him here, he's not here. I'd rather have Mr. Davison any day of the week. But how we wanted to lay into the so-called legend when not only do London fans desperately need him on the show to say, have you seen that if we finish the job at Barrow next week, we're in the top four?
Yeah.
And that's the Barrow you said would finish above them. But that, I mean, I know we'll talk about who's had the most significant result this weekend, but hats off to Coventry.
Yeah, you're very quiet, Phil. I don't know if your microphone is working. Phil, just tap it. No, I don't think you're working. No. That could be a problem. We'll share with Rich or whatever. We'll sort that out. He's not here. The legend's not here. He's been banned. He's serving an early guilty plea or whatever it's called these days. John Davison is with us. John, are you well?
I am well. I'll do my best to bang the table as much as I can and breathe heavily to make up for the loss.
Well, that's what we want, yeah. I see you've got some garish shorts on, which you're fulfilling. You got the spec on the shorts, anyway. What do you reckon? I think Widnes are going to be worried. Salford are going to be worried. Featherstone are going to be worried. Lee are going to be worried. Everyone's getting worried.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 15 losses in a row. I think Widnes probably couldn't beat, you know, a team from the side of the road. You know, 17 blokes you just
they couldn't beat us. I'll tell you.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
I think the PDRL team that you played in would beat them easily.
Easily.
Yeah.
By the way, Leeds had a double, didn't they, on Friday? Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't ask you. You can't talk to me, can
you?
Well,
I can.
Oh, you can now.
I can lean in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What a game that was, by the way.
I think
Wakefield beaten by Leeds on Friday night.
Having been privileged enough to see a lot of the PDRL games that have been played since its inception, that was one of the best. A fantastic performance by both teams. Went down to the very last play of the game. Players leaving the field with their eyes split open and various parts of their body damaged, and get a standing ovation from 3,000 fans as they walk around the pitch. It was just a magnificent occasion, and the quality on display is just every week gets higher.
That number 16 had a good game, I heard. What do you reckon, Phil?
I think it was the glue that kept it together. probably had his best performance of the season.
Known as the glue.
The glue. The horse factory that kept it together.
That was good. Great fun. Really enjoyed it. Absolutely shattered at the end. But the boy, like you said, boys and girl, we should mention Dr. Kirk, who was on the field with us.
Yes.
Great game. Great effort. We'll get you signed up, John. You could represent Australia. Because I reckon there's going to be a World Cup soon.
I can't play for South. That would just... No. I'd be going for Warrington in that game. But
would you?
Yeah, I'm keen. Give me a call up.
Very good.
The good news is that I think the Emerging Nations World Cup, which is due in October in Sydney, will have a PDRL element to it, and that might be the test for being a part of the 2021 World Cup.
Very good. So it could happen. It could happen.
You could play for your country.
The World Cup.
Do the NRL like the Emerging Nations World Cup, or are they going to cancel it?
We'll see if it's on the agenda in Singapore this week.
Why is the meeting in Singapore? Right, now...
It's a rugby league. Heartland area, Rich.
I don't really understand the world, right? But... I know we're trying to say there's more than two countries play rugby league. And obviously there are. I've seen the world rankings and everything. There was a question on the telly the other week on a quiz. But can't they just use Skype? It worked for Huddersfield Giants. Why can't it work for the RLAF? Unless they just want a holiday. Big work trip to Singapore, the world home of rugby league.
It's a very good place to get a suit made, I'm told.
All right. Okay. Is that it? Is that why we're going there, is it?
I lived there for 18 months, and I tell you, rugby league is massive there. You know, kids carrying students around the streets, they just love it. No, not really.
No? See a lot of Salford shirts while you were there?
No. A lot of Liverpool and Manchester United shirts, but not a lot of rugby league shirts, unfortunately.
We have put a Twitter poll out, or we put it out earlier. I put it on mine by accident. It was saying, who had the biggest performance of the weekend? And we had an awful lot of votes. I'm just trying to get the latest. It's up until the end of the show. Here we go. And we have had over 500 votes, and it's pretty tight, actually. York, who beat Bradford 31%, London 24%, Halifax 26%, Coventry 19%. We couldn't even fit Wakefield on, Rich. Should they have been on there?
Nah, not really. Just won the game, didn't they?
Was it like Leeds? They didn't beat a right lot? Or like
it,
Leeds
it was
beat
like
Widnes?
Watching Huddersfield on Friday, where Cash just didn't turn up and Hull didn't turn up. It was odd. Serves them right for changing the 19-man squad. What's the point of that rule, anyway?
I don't know.
To protect the integrity of our sport, because you can't trust players not to gamble. And then they make three changes. Who play in the game?
I'm sure there was
a perfectly
good reason.
Do they get fined? Do they get points deducted or whatever?
I don't know.
Or just get a slap on the wrist?
I'm sure they can provide medical certificates for all of the people that weren't available.
Where's Thingy Bob? Bob Elston, where's he? It's his clubs. Sort them out. You've had him piercing the slap. What's going on? Can't do that.
All right, you got your Bears hat on today.
Bears hat.
Hey, they're looking for 4-4. They play West Wales on Wednesday.
I mean, this is shocking. I didn't win Tweet of the Week in the paper for saying, are you West Wales in disguise yesterday at Hull? But you won it, which is disgraceful. It wasn't even funny.
It wasn't supposed to be funny.
Well, I know.
But that's a midweek game. Then they've got York, which, the two overachievers this week in that division get to face each other next Sunday. How fantastic. Get to York and watch Coventry.
They do. Let's start off with Bradford then. 6,400 and... Was it 11? Hold on, where's my list gone? 6,441. I did them out of 30. Bradford 28, York 30. You watched it on the telly, Phil?
I watched the live stream. Enjoyed every single minute of it. Thought it was a top quality game. York's game plan in the first 20 minutes was absolutely fantastic. I don't think they made a mistake, but they put pressure on Bradford from the very first minute, hurried them into errors of their own. The Bradford fireback then had everybody on the edge of their seats. Could have gone down to a conversion from the touchline from Dane Chisholm, which he just pushed wide. Meant that York hung on, probably just about deserved to hang on as well, but just thought there were winners everywhere. A fabulous event. We've spent so many hours in this studio talking about how rugby league needs to prosper on the back of events. Fans hugging each other from both sides on the final whistle because they'd seen something special. It wasn't Bull Mania in the sense that it was when Super League started, but it's certainly a huge step towards getting back to that kind of atmosphere at that ground. And James Ford got his team to produce a magnificent performance that now means, as he said afterwards, both teams have got 8 grand finals till the end of the season. The most important thing for York was the score. The most important thing for Bradford was the attendance. Everybody won.
It's highly likely, without writing off Oldham, Workington, Whitehaven, Doncaster, Hunslet, or Keighley, that both teams may well get out of the division, John, and it's probably important that they do, given what they're both producing at the minute. But what York's win does, it means the Bulls can't coast in now, like Phil said. They're on a knife edge again. Who goes straight up and who has to take the playoffs?
Yeah, it sets up a great finish, doesn't it? I think both those clubs hopefully will get in the championship because they have the potential to properly push for Super League, and you know they're doing a lot of good things off the field as well as on the field. As Phil talked about, you know, the marketing of this game from Bradford was fantastic. You know, the film that they put out on Twitter, and you know, I think the streaming just adds to the occasion. I caught a fair bit of it. I don't know if it was the epicentre of the rugby league universe, but it was certainly a great contest. And I think when I was watching, there was about 11,000 people who'd watched parts of it, which just goes to show the popularity of the Bulls and also of the medium. So it's great to see, you know, this sort of top end stuff in League One flourishing.
I
think it is significant that crowd was bigger than two Super League attendances. Mm. Now, one of those attendances is a bit of a surprise because that was at Castleford, where there was everything to play for.
But it did clash with the old Ponty Races. They had a big night at Ponty Races, didn't they? And that game was moved late as well, so maybe that might have knocked a few off.
You know, Cass could have gone into second. Huddersfield cleaned their hopes of being in the top eight, ultimately did. I just thought there would have been more than 5,000 there. And then, you know, only one game on a Sunday afternoon in Super League. And again, a match with something hanging on it. We didn't know that it would be over within the first 15 minutes, but the comparison of Bradford's attendance to those two Super League attendances tells you what we should be looking at and not all the time concentrating solely on structure.
You were in the presence of James Ford last week.
Yeah, well,
RSW,
secretly,
and, you were. I think he was quite confident ahead of the game, wasn't he?
He said, off the record, I guess it's on the record now because it's been and gone, so it doesn't matter. I didn't do journalism training. Not much, anyway. That if the Bradford team who turned up against Hunslet turned up the week after, he'd be quite happy. So I'm sure he was quite happy. And he is quite happy now. He's got a full-time gig, and York are on the way up. And
yeah, all good.
It's like York are doing well, Coventry are doing well, Newcastle are doing well. Yeah. We've had Mickey says, my God, it's turning into the Championship and League One show. See, you're getting worse every week. Bye bye. Go listen to Radio Leeds. Simple as that. Go do it. Give them some listeners.
Ta-ra. We should get a jingle, mate.
Yeah, go listen to Radio Leeds.
It's funny, isn't it? Because if we concentrate on Super League, everybody says about
Leeds. Yeah.
You don't do the full spread of the game.
They've got a new boss. They need some more listeners. Go listen to them. Sarah Jane, why do us Cumbrians not get any mention? Like, we mention Cumbria all the time, mainly saying you don't turn up to games. What are we supposed to say about the Cumbrian sides this week?
Yeah. One there were 661 at Whitehaven. They were in the top five.
We want everyone to be successful. We don't want anyone to fail, but people have to turn up.
Yeah, they do indeed.
Don't know what we want. David is taking me to task. How ironic that a Wakey fan talks about changing the 19-man squad when they did it twice last season with Fifita playing Cass when he wasn't in the original 19. Didn't do them any good either. There's a difference in one and three.
I want to know who has blessed David Fifita this week, because he was like walking on one leg last week.
Well, I tell you,
and yet he's racing 60 yards to score tries this week. What's
60?
Happened?
70.
70?
Length of the field. Yeah. It's like watching Wayne McDonald all over again. There's one for our younger listeners. He just has these games every so often, doesn't he?
I think his tweet patch was eating pies, scoring tries, so obviously the not more well. Pies you eat, the more tries you score.
Not off to Warrington either.
You never know. Price has just gone up now.
Idiot fans.
Tom Johnson, new contract.
Yeah, exactly. Another 50 grand on the fee yesterday. So Gary Edrington, queue up with your money. Three-wheel barriers now.
They're shopping the championship now. Don't worry about that. They can't afford it.
Sign a winger from Fev or something again, can't they? But, I tell you what, his agent does a very good job, as was pointed out by Marco Carter. How many contract extensions has Tom Johnson had in the past three seasons?
I'd argue either way. Well, if he keeps having to get a new one, he probably won't on enough before.
Yeah, but
so
I'm sure there's a percentage
on,
every time.
You need to pull your finger out.
It's not bad work, is it? But yeah, he scored and everyone scored, and bizarre. Hull just were awful. Lee Radford said he's dropped the ball all the time and weren't very good.
I've asked a question on Twitter, and I've been moaned at by Hull and Hull Kingston Rovers fans, that is this the most meaningless derby ever between Hull FC and Hull KR this weekend? John, 15,000 tickets sold, well played, great. Nothing on the game.
Yeah.
Nothing. Hull KR, if you said to Tim Sheens, lads, you don't have to turn up this week, doesn't matter, we'll put you down for a loss. He'd go, great, we're not coming.
Yeah,
wouldn't it? Would, wouldn't it?
Definitely. I think they'll probably get more people eventually than for this game than Saints and Wigan had last week. But it goes back to in pre-season when they played each other. I don't know why you would play so many derbies. The less derbies, the more, you know, the occasion builds and the excitement and anticipation. But for this one, there's nothing really to play for. I mean, Todd Carney's whole KR debut, maybe that's about it.
Yeah. I made the point. We've just done the last tackle for. I made the point. You know we're playing too many games, derby games, when Sean Wayne comes out and says, I don't really like losing to St Helens, but I say I'm all right with that. And it means, yeah, we'll play them again.
Twice,
when it matters.
Probably.
And that's the only time we're bothered. It's like, there's too many, isn't there?
Yes.
They're killing our own product.
I mean, the one thing that people will say is if 15,000 people want to see it, then there is some value to it. But I think the problem that we've got is not just the pre-season game, it's the Magic Weekend as well, which you can have too much of a good thing. The wider implication, I think, is we're going into round 23, which we were told under the current system was going to be the most exciting round when all the things were decided and sorted out and teams would know then who they were playing in the next section of the season. Actually, we're going into round 23 and we virtually know everything.
You know when the famous wide to west try was scored, and Matt Elliott just slid off his chair down into the footwell. That is going to happen at one of Featherston or Lee, isn't it? Possibly both. When you look at the owners who are going to be sliding down into the thing, thinking, "Oh my god!"
It's kind of the £500,000 game, isn't it? Really coming this weekend.
Yeah. We're playing too many games. We keep banging on about it. But great they've sold 15,000 tickets. And probably on the fact that Hull are going for the top four and Rovers almost took it to the last game. Mm-hmm. And fair play to them for that. But they've been planning for where they are all season long. You know, they are where they expected to be. And I think that brings its own rewards. They know what they're getting into. They've learned so many lessons from last time. Even the way now that they cheat when Danny Tickle rolls over at the play of the ball. They've just learned so many things.
You'd be surprised, I think, if they went down. I think the experience they've had of being in that situation, they know how to manage it. I still think there will be some transfers this week. Deadline, I think, is Friday. So you've got to have all your cards on deck before we go into the last round of fixtures. I still think there's some business to be done. It might need a domino type effect that somebody allows a player to go, which triggers others in the market. That could be a team even in 5th, 6th, 7th and 8th, which is now secure in their recruitment for next season. They may start letting a couple of players go, but I still think Hull KR will sign maybe one more player this week, and they are planning solely for not being in a £1 million game.
And they've got about three band, is it?
Yes. James Greenwood, one match, grade B, dangerous contact. Danny Maguire, grade A, contact with match official. It's in the old days when he played for Leeds, that was just giving Kevin Sinfield a hug. He's got one match. Mossy Massoy, grade C, dangerous contact, two match penalty notice.
So he'll miss one of the games.
Mega qualifiers, yeah.
Interesting. So Rovers down already on troops, that's before they even get to Hull.
You'd think that Hull would be as well, that the gamble to play guys who clearly weren't fit, understandable, because Lee Radford felt the season was on the line. You can't see it. I don't think too many of them playing this week either. You wouldn't now risk anybody who is under an injury cloud.
Interesting. Right, let's have a look at the teams then that were the big winners this week in terms of the Super League. Huddersfield, 32-18 victors at Castleford. What were they, 12-0 and 18-12 down there, and they turned it round. The Giants are flying at the minute, absolutely flying. Their Super League status secured. They're going to give it a good go, aren't they, in the end? I'm not saying they get anywhere near the four, but they're going to be a tough cookie, aren't they?
The way the run that they're on, I think it's 8 wins out of the last 9. They've got a lot of confidence, a lot of momentum. I mean, Cass started like a house on fire in that game. I was there, Liam Watts was smashing people up the front. Jamie Ellis scored a great opening try, stepped a few defenders. I'm sure Scully would have enjoyed that. Rich can confirm that because he was in commentary next to him. But the way Huddersfield came back, you know, and nilled them in the second half was very, very impressive. So Simon Wolford's doing a hell of a job there.
I think looking back, the only defeat he's had was a surprise one at Hull KR. Not a surprise that they got defeated, but the manner in which they got beaten. And I thought Wolford was really calm after that. just took his medicine and said, yeah, you know, we might have a day like this. But there was a confidence about him moving the squad in the right direction. And I think Scoey went early on Lee Gaskill earlier in the season. Saying,
well, no, I don't think he went early. No. I think he was making a point that Gaskill was so out of form. And I watched Wolford's interview after the game at Cass, and he actually said, look, you know, his turnaround in the last 4 weeks has been unbelievable.
But that, I think that's partly down to Wolford investing in him. And that's, to me, would be a mark of a good coach. When Simon Wolford arrived, we said, you know, yeah, we've seen him play a lot of games for Canberra as a hooker, but we didn't really know anything else more about him. We didn't appreciate perhaps his coaching record at Newcastle, which was only an assistant. We didn't
know a bottom.
Yeah, we didn't know why that was any different from recruiting Rick Stone, who was an assistant at Newcastle when they were bottom. But there's something, obviously, in the background of Simon Wolford that Huddersfield saw that matches what Chris Thorman did in that period that bridged the two of them. And all you can measure a coach by, I think, is how players improve. And virtually every single one of those Huddersfield players that took the field on Friday is a better player than they were when Simon Wolford arrived. So it is to his credit at the moment. I think Ken Davey is one of these owners that, a bit like Bernard Gouache now at Catalan, who will be saying, brilliant, don't need to worry about next year now. I can be serious about getting out my blank sheet of paper and deciding who we want to bring in. Can make some offers now before some other clubs even know what they're doing. And to not be involved in the bottom four is just a huge relief. I only have one... I have several reservations about the eights, but one of them is the clubs that finish in particularly 6th, 7th and 8th, there is a danger, as has happened in the last 3 years, that they will lose money. And we shouldn't have a competition whereby Huddersfield now and possibly Wakefield are looking at fixtures that are going to cost them money.
I keep hearing, though, about this losing money business.
No,
but yeah, if you turn around and say, well, I'll tell you what, lads, he's only playing 23 games, go, oh, no, we can't do that, we need to make some money.
Yeah.
So you can't have it both ways.
You can't. And the reason that they lose money is because fans don't know in advance what the fixtures are. They then think, well, what's the point of me turning up anyway, because it can't change my league position. So it's a double whammy in many ways. I just think all we can hope for is that those... Castellan have got a different imperative, because they can still get to Wembley. And you would say that they've a chance of getting to Wembley, which they didn't have when the draw was made, I don't think. But for Huddersfield and Wakefield and maybe Hull, I just hope that we're not hearing, you know, chairman and owners saying we have lost money over the eights, because that wasn't what it was bought in for.
Steve's calling us out. He says, you all went early saying, why did they give Brough another contract?
No, look, Steve.
We get things
Steve,
wrong.
No. I'll stand by that comment. I wouldn't have given him a new contract. And I did say, when I saw them beat Wigan, or was it the week before, he had a big game, and I said, look, that's the Danny Brough that they wanted to sign. And I have to say, I didn't see him on Friday. Last two times I've seen him, he's been outstanding. And as Phil just said, the new coach is getting a tune out of him. So no. I'm all for that. My point was, why, when you're going to get rid of your coach, has looked clearly obvious. Rick Stone was out of contract. They didn't look like they were going to renew it. Why would you then spend a lot of money on a player that was under contract anyway, let your new coach come in? It might be, at the end of the season, the new coach says, I don't really need a Danny Brough now. Actually, I want to go get a Kenny Edwards. I want to get Kenny Edwards. And that money's already been spent. So that was my point. And the manner in which those negotiations, shall we say, were conducted, I'm not sure that was the best way. But fair play. We hold his hands up. He's played well the last three games. He needs to win in more big games.
There's another factor, I think, that we need to give Huddersfield credit. You hear a lot about the injury crisis, but what does that actually mean? And only one of the ways of defining that is by the number of players that teams have used this season. So Widnes have used more players than any other team. They've used 35. We're only supposed to have squads of 25. So it's probably not surprising that they're at the bottom of the league, because they're digging into younger players who clearly aren't as good as some of the younger players at clubs higher up the league. The side that's used the second most number of players is Huddersfield with 33. That, to be, you know, secure in eighth and knowing that, you know, if they had a really good run, they could quite easily finish fifth, which in terms again of where they were last year, and you're trying to build a club and get a new coach in and secure your recruitment, that would be a really, really good season for Huddersfield. But to do it with so many players out, that's a testament to them. The other end of that is the team that have used the least number of players is St Helens, 22 all season. So they haven't even dipped into their... well, they will have used all of their 25, but they're not overused young players. And they're top of the league. And those sort of stats just tell you how good a season it's been for Huddersfield, I think. But so many injuries that were too many games. There is your evidence.
On Huddersfield and Cass, Baz says, for 10 minutes, Cass were great. The other 70 were shocking. Great performance from Huddersfield, though. That's true. Mark says, the Giants were a team on the up. Where do you think they'll finish at the end of the Super 8s? Probably 6, 7 or 8, I guess.
They could get to 5th, I think. Yeah.
Simon Wolford, I think he must strike the fear of some deity into his players, because I don't know if John could feel it, but whenever they made a mistake... Right on the desk.
Whoa.
I know, exactly.
That's great G desk, man. Yeah,
right on the desk at Castle. Eh? We know that stadium, you know, those desks are not.
The lights quite... just fell off in the subway down underneath there. They're just falling off the roof.
I do remember him as a nuggety little hooker at Canberra, and he used to have a bit of a mean, you know, like all the best hookers, a mean, angry streak at him. And when he was coaching in Goulburn before he joined the Knights, he did get a big ban for smashing a shield in a coach's box. So I think there's definitely a side of him you don't want to get on. Maybe small man syndrome, I'm not sure.
Don't they call him the Germ or something?
I believe that was one of his former teammates did tell me that from his Canberra days. It's not really a complimentary nickname, but rugby league's great for nicknames, isn't it?
No, look, I think it says a lot about him, doesn't it? How he went about his business. Well, if he's getting a tune out of his team...
Oh, I think he's definitely got that competitive nature, and from what I've seen of Huddersfield since he's come on, they've got a lot more edge.
They've bought into him, haven't
they? Their effort has increased, the defence, you know, there's a lot more intensity there. And Rick Stone, I think everyone would say, is a lovely guy. Maybe he's probably too nice to be an elite coach. He's, you know, I think he knows a lot about rugby league, but he always sort of struck you as maybe a little bit too nice.
I've seen him a few times. Very basic game plan.
Yeah. Yep.
Carried out to the letter. You know, like you said, we'll defend. Hull went there. Hull battered them for 20 minutes, but Huddersfield held their line and then just took the game away from them, didn't they?
Castleford, what was it, about 45 minutes, didn't score a point against them on Friday. I mean, that's impressive. You know, unless you're playing Widnes, that's an impressive stat. So, yeah, I think it is the basics, isn't it? It's effort and defence.
I think the return of Cudjoe and McGilvery's form coming back has been extremely helpful as well. That, you mentioned the edge, that side has been, you know, fantastic for them, and was again at Castleford, caused an indecision in the Castleford defenders, kept coming in and leaving McGilvery for his walk-ins. I think Jordan Turner's been more of a revelation since Wolford came, and up front they've always had a big pack. They perhaps haven't had enough, so when they've had two or three injuries it's looked less intimidating. But there just seems to be, you know, Adam O'Brien seems a bit more settled at hooker. Ryan Hinchcliffe seems to be settled with the number that they gave him at the start of the season rather than wanting to be the hooker. It'd be interesting recruitment-wise what they do next year. Will they stick with some of the kids that they've blooded this season? We still think Akilu Uwate will be coming in, but that might be a replacement for Jake Maimo, who I think he's on his way.
I think, funnily enough, I think Maimo is definitely going one way or the other. But they have been sort of strongly linked with one or two halfbacks in the NRL, Huddersfield. So when you were, you know, talking about Broff, obviously he's got a future, but they are looking, you know, for another half, it seems, to sort of strengthen that spine that they've got.
Well, Jackson Hastings could be just keeping a jersey warm at Salford to go over to Huddersfield. You don't know.
Yeah. See if they've raised any more money. We'll check.
Go on, it's like children in need. It's gone down to
65.
It's like,
should we do a Live Aid, baby?
It's like, get on the phone.
There's a difference between give us your money, as Bob Geldof said, with another word in the middle of it. It's all right when amateur teams are appealing for people to give them kit and stuff, but, and I know clubs have squad builders, but usually teams in like League One or whatever.
Come on, what is it at now?
I don't know. When a full-time Super League club, I thought they had, you know, the good doctor was paying for half these signings anyway. He's paid for two of them, hasn't he?
Why didn't he just put the money in earlier and actually give him a chance to get out of the bottom eight?
But does money solve their problems? That would be my issue. That we keep talking about things like structure, and actually it's more than that. It's sustainability. And are Salford at the moment a sustainable club in the top flight?
No.
I'm not sure.
And I think they're paying the price for not having getting rid of their academy team and not having reserves because, as you mentioned earlier, they've just not they've had to play players who have been injured because they just don't have the troops to call upon or the money to recruit from other clubs.
And if it is too long a season, which I think we all now accept that it is, then it's not just that they've got nobody to come in. The guys that are fit are playing too much rugby too often, which again detracts from their ability to make a real impact.
Isn't it, again, I know as mentioned, clubs have squad builds and people pay tenner a month or whatever and you feel like you're part of the squad and it pays for someone's wages or something. But when you're actively begging...
Hold on. Do you actually get a place in the team if you put 20
They've raised £500.
Wow.
Right?
500.
Are they going to sign for that?
Hold on. 12 days to go. They can't buy anyone after Friday.
Jamie Peacock may as well have melted his ring down, hasn't he? It's the same thing. I just don't... There's so many different charities involved in rugby league and people want to support many and various different things, and yet we've got a Super League club who gets how much money from Sky a year?
1.2
Not sure, 2 million. Yeah. Enough to pay their full salary.
1.8, something like that.
Over £1 million. Closer to £2 million from the broadcaster. He's begging its supporters to buy a player. I'm lost.
We're going to do a Twitter poll and see who they can buy.
I'm lost.
Is that what they're going to do? Everyone that sent some money and gets a vote?
Well, I think Chris Sandow's out there begging for a contract, so I'm sure he'd take one for a pie or a pint.
No way.
But what can you buy? Who can you buy for 20 grand? I don't know. Is there a quality player out there who'll get 20 grand for 7 games in the Super 8s? There might
bizarre.
Be, I don't know, but
absolutely
it's just...
Absolutely bizarre.
And sad as well, yeah, I think. Demeaning. Would be another word.
Pathetic.
He shouldn't be allowed.
The legend came in there. Yeah. Pathetic.
As I say, I know clubs have squad builders, and that's a different thing.
The thing about squad builders, though, and Widnes are very good at this, it's for tying down your young kids. Yeah. So as they're coming through, you want to reward them, perhaps even give them their first professional contract. The supporters put some money in, and that player... you see develop. There is a logic to all of that.
Yeah.
If you don't have a reserve grade or academy, there ain't a lot of point having a squad builder.
Signing a mercenary.
And the way that Widnes do it, they do a fantastic job with their academy and bringing local talent through. You know, a lot of they are local Widnes lads, aren't they?
I'll tell you what Leeds could do with signing. Chris Nanninu. He'll be a free contract when Widnes get relegated. Leeds could get him.
Well, now Ryan Hall's going. They may have some money and a spot for a three-quarter.
Possible.
Depends on whether he counts on the quota and if they're going to be releasing anybody who is currently on the quota. All of that will be, no doubt, an issue.
We're not picking on Salford, by the way.
Yeah, we are.
People think
we probably are.
We're picking on Leeds. That comes up later.
Oh, yes.
Hashtag Leeds in qualifiers. there should be a student inquiry of Hull's no-show, says Graham at Wakefield. Cheating the fans. Getting beat means the... Four teams, the bottom four, their games next week are dead run.
Oh, hold on, Graham. Let's just ask Leeds. Have they been cheating the fans for the last 10 weeks? And don't give me this bunkum that they beat Widnes. Yeah. Widnes are useless.
Caroline, though, is a more sensible person. She says, as a Hull FC fan, obviously disappointed, but some of our so-called fans need to give their heads a shake. I enjoyed the ones cheering when they scored their first try in the 70th minute. We've had a really tough season. Youngsters playing longer than they would usually. Which must be very difficult for them in terms of mentality. Most of our influential players out then, they come back not fit. The players out there should have done better, yes, but to be calling for Radder's head after one rubbish game is just so ridiculous. It was quite funny, sorry, Colin, in the press conference last night where you could just think, Lee Rathbone does not want to be there and yet keeps being asked questions by people. You think, everyone else in this room knows he doesn't want to be here, just stop asking questions.
I once did an interview with him. Remember when the Bulls got relegated and Hull went to Bradford and got battered?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely battered. And I had to do an interview with him and he stopped it after about 30 seconds. He went, Mark, I just said, I ain't got anything positive to say. And then he let go a lot of expletives explaining why he didn't want to do the interview. And then I went, yeah, no worries, mate.
I think he's too honest, isn't he? Sometimes for his own good. Because like that interview on Sunday, he was just like, no, I don't think we can make the top 8.
I don't think there's anything worse, and you'll know this, there's nothing worse, and the worst example ever was Steve McNamara trying to justify Bradford's record defeat to London a few days before he got sacked. When you stood there going, I don't believe what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't believe what you're saying, and you know that I don't believe what you're saying. So why are you saying it?
It's like a merry dance.
It's, yeah. It's awful, it isn't it? Yeah. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know what? We're absolutely rubbish. And that sometimes there aren't any questions to ask, are they? I know it's hard, but there are.
I got an email from a prominent Wakefield fan who thought that the Hull fans were wonderful after they'd scored their two late tries, singing to the Wakefield fans, "We can see you sneaking out."
Got to beat the traffic. Get out of that car park. Vinty says, "Ask Mark who he tipped in last week in Leeds versus useless Widnes."
Oh, Vinty's a Bulls fan, a Widnes fan. Look, I said they had to keep it tight for 20 minutes. I think they scored on 18 minutes, didn't they, Leeds? And when Joe Miller dropped that pass, right, he might as well have kept running straight out past the Carnegie stand into the car park and got on the bus and said, "Come on, lads, we're off." Because when he dropped that pass, that was it. Rubbish. And I did tip him up. Rubbish.
I mean, I like Joe Miller, but do you think that's part of the problem at Widnes, that if he can't play or isn't allowed to play or isn't having one of his best games, that they're too easy to shut down?
Possibly. I think Widnes's problem is that they're rubbish.
Right.
All right.
Which is that is a
they
problem.
They can't tackle. Can problem. They can't pass. They can't score. They but can't.
But the week before, you saw them against Hull KR, and there was a spirit
there was
about
a
them.
A flicker.
But there was a spirit in the way that they played. They didn't give. They still made mistakes.
They
and
sacked it off. They sacked it off on Friday night. They sacked it off.
Does that come with a constant run of defeats, that you go two scores behind and that you think this is another week that
they're not going to beat Cass. Cass on the back of a defeat, they're not going to go there and go, "Oh, I'll tell you what, lads, we'll let you win this week."
Darryl Bell was pretty scathing of his team, actually. Yeah. But on Widnes, I mean, I think the interesting thing is a lot of Widnes fans were celebrating when Dennis Betts went.
Yeah.
They thought he was the problem or he was a big part of the problem. Yeah. I think it goes to show it hasn't been Dennis's fault. No.
No investment.
Exactly.
Got some great, you know, those kids. I watched Buckley last week at home.
Yeah.
Scored two tries, had a decent game. He never got a touch on Friday.
And Ashley Bott is clearly a talent, but he's physically not developed enough to be playing every week in Super League.
Yeah.
You know. He is a talent, but you're not winning enough games.
The mentality in their team to dig them
Who's
out
the
of
leader?
A hole.
Who is the leader?
And I think a few of their quota players have been there too long. Yeah. You know, I think
there's too many too comfy.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when they won 6 out of 7? Everyone got a contract, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was like bonanza. We're in Super League. Let's get everyone signed up again, lads.
And I like Charlie Runciman. But again, I think if you don't have competition for places, it's very hard to be at the top of your game every. I thought he was actually their best player in terms of the workload that he did, but he's not had the impact that you would want him to have.
I bet. Well, you know, normally you go to a club and you don't get picked. And it's, "Oh God, I'm not in the team." I reckon at Widnes, you go, "Oh God, I've been picked again."
There's no winning pay, is there?
I can't get out. What do I have to do?
They've got some big decisions to make, with even people like Chris Houston leaving next year, because if they did have a leader when he's out there, he is that kind of player. But obviously he's announced his retirement.
Can they get out, Phil, realistically? Do you expect them to be a Super League club next season?
I would be very surprised if Toronto don't get promoted. That means that somebody has got to come down, and at the moment, on what I've seen, it would probably be Widnes. My worry for Salford is they physically haven't got enough players. I don't know what effect Jackson Hastings is going to have, and I don't know if it's fair to even pin all of the hopes on him. And if they get two or three more injuries, I would worry for Salford more than Widnes, because it's not about the calibre of player, it's just they will run out of bodies. Widnes have got to go to Toronto, as do Hull KR. That's going to be a seminal game.
Derek Tomlinson says, "Good evening from Afghanistan. Bad result for Hull against Wakey, but I'd like to give respect to Wakefield chairman Mr Carter, who, when a child was injured in a kids game, came down from his box to be with the lad and his family. Well done, Mr Carter," says Derek. David says,
"Was the kid all right?"
Well, hopefully. David says, "What do you mean there is nothing to play for in the Hull derby? Hull FC win and Wires lose away to Saints, both of which are very possible. Then Hull are less than 3 wins behind Wires, with another 7 wins to go, and Wires next to game or 2 in the Challenge Cup. Then Hull have a lot to play for." Lee Radford said it's over. It is over, isn't it? The race for the top 4. The most interesting thing now, as it is every time we've had the 8s, is the qualifiers, and then we get back to the top 4, and then it's exciting. So these 7 weeks are a bit.
I always find with this structure in Super League, around the sort of June, July, there's just a bit of a lull. It's like sort of you just sort of pause the competition for a while, and then it picks up again. But it's just too long. I mean, obviously we had the Football World Cup on this year, but it just seems like there's just a bit of a lull and games peter out. And then until we basically get, obviously, Bolton we've got coming up, and then the semi-finals, that's really what we're waiting for. Million-pound game.
It's just too much of it, isn't it? It's too much of it.
Absolutely. It is,
you know. And I get, was it David with a point there? But you're asking a Wakefield, a Hull, a Huddersfield or a Catalan to beat all the teams around them in the league. And that, how many teams this year, barring St Helens and Warrington when they went on that really good run, have won 7-8 games on the trot?
I think it was
too much.
No, I think it was at Cass a couple of years ago and they won maybe 6 out of 7, or they won 5 in a row and they gave themselves a really good chance. But it's just, it's a bridge too far.
There's only one team who has gone from outside of the four into the four in all of the eights, and that was St Helens last year.
Mm.
And they were, I think, closer than these teams are at the moment. And I think if you've performed to a certain level most of the year, then against the really top sides, you're not going to be suddenly hitting, you know, championship form. So, no, I there's a lot of issues, I think, with the structure that need a wider debate that isn't just about whether we have the eights or not. But we've managed to conjure up a competition whereby we know in advance too much of what's happening and we don't know the fixtures. So you put those two together and people then start to lose the habit of going to rugby league games. And for me, that's the danger. The crowds are down this year. That isn't so much to do with who's playing well and who isn't. I just think, you know, people are picking and choosing games and they're not, they're not buying into the fact that every minute does matter enough. Mm. And it never has. And this only makes it look worse.
Ah, fair dues. Keep your tweets coming in at RL on RY. You can get in touch through the Proper Sport Facebook page. It's Mark, John, Phil and Richard with you here in the studio. The Dragons. I'm going to give you another big prediction now. They're going to win the Challenge Cup. Am I bonkers? John Davis.
Yes, you are.
Why?
Why? Well, I don't think they'll win their semi, but I don't think they'd win at Wembley. I just, you know, that's too much of a jolly out for the French boys coming across. But no, I think, look, I'm very surprised how they've turned things around. I thought McNamara was headed for the sack. But it just goes to show what, you know, how vital a halfback is like Drinkwater. I was stunned that Salford or Widnes didn't sign him when Lee got relegated, because, you know, you could see week in, week out with Lee behind a beaten pack. He was a good player.
It just shows as well how quick we are to judge people, and yet you put them in a different environment, how well some people can do.
Yeah, well, I think he was one of Lee's best in, you know, they didn't actually do that badly last season. They obviously got relegated, but they didn't finish bottom.
They weren't bottom, yeah.
No. And he was one of their best players week in, week out. And
how do you know you were bummed?
There's other ways, Phil. There's TV. I know Josh a little bit, and I think he's 25 now. He started off at the Broncos, you know, got relegated there, went back to the NRL, had a few games, played a lot, and he's matured as a halfback. You know, he's sort of coming into that.
I just think he's the kind of player that needs to play behind a big pack that goes forward. I don't think he's going to come up with champion plays that he's going to turn the game himself. I think he's the guy that, if you give me the time and the space, I'll kick you into the right positions, I'll support you, I'll stick you in a hole and I'll back you up. And I think that's possibly why he's been so successful at Catalan. I don't think it's solely to do with the fact that he is the talented talisman that's turned that around. I think it's in combination with the fact that they've got the best players on the park week in, week out for the last 5 or 6 weeks. They've got 4 huge forwards on the bench. We talk about impact signings that come in during the season, probably more than him, because they had to replace Walsh anyway. And there probably wasn't even anybody else they could have gone for. But getting Kenny Edwards has proved to be an absolute masterstroke. Again, coming off the bench against Salford, the energy level that he immediately gave them, the positions that he gets into that troubles defences. I think he's been probably the mid-season signing, more than Drinkwater. But you add the some of the parts, and the whole that you've got is just a very brutal team. And I think when the Challenge Cup was drawn, 9 weeks ago, we wouldn't have given Catalan a price. But there's something about the way they're playing at the moment that if Saints don't run them around in the first 15 or 20 minutes and they hang in there, they're going to be very difficult to dislodge when they start bringing some of their big men off the bench. But don't underestimate Saints. I think that the danger we have is the fact that they could have dropped some games in this run that they've been on. It wouldn't have been a surprise. They've kept with the players that obviously the coaching staff
but
feel
is that
can
at
do
some
them
point
a specific
not
job.
Bite them, the but fact
we,
that they
we,
do play
I,
the
but
same.
I've been thinking that every week for the last 4 or 5 weeks, and I thought
yeah,
they were really
still
good against
eight
Wigan.
Really intense games to go.
But I think that's what
for
that's
them
what,
anyway.
That's what they want. They're thriving on the back of that.
I think the interesting thing about Saints as well, and I saw them at Hull the other week, was that Barber didn't play particularly well. They smashed him into touch. They knocked the ball loose. I mean, he still scored a try and set up one, but he didn't play particularly well. But then just in the second half when the game was in the balance, Roby just stepped up. Bang, bang, bang. Him and Lomax, you know, they set up, I think it was 24 points in 19 minutes. I mean, they've got so many weapons.
And Walmsley to come back.
Well, he hasn't even been missed, has he? The way their forward pack has stood up, you know, Thompson, Douglas, Dominic Peyrou.
Yeah.
I mean, he when they first signed him and when he first played for the club, I don't think anyone particularly rated him, but he's you know, lifted his game immensely.
Who I think we all thought, you know, probably coming towards the end of his career, but has been as good in this current spell as perhaps he's ever been.
Well, he was in the dream team at Catalans, was it two, three years ago, and he's playing as well as he was in that season. And then you throw in Makinson, who, you know, is a deserved England player. Mark Percival has improved.
I thought the way they played against Wigan with, was it two or three of their top names out, just said everything about Justin Holbrook and what he expects from his players, what he gets from his players, what they need to do to retain. I think they know as players that this team is probably going to win something this year, but if they don't play as well as he wants them to play, they're going to miss out on that. And it's just firing everybody at the moment to be the best they can be.
I know they had Percival and Barber not playing. They beat Wigan 14-6. I thought they declared at 14-0. I thought they probably should have scored some more points. But the point are, Wigan had half of their first choice team missing. And yet, they still competed. Is that not a worry? Or is that just they won easily?
I think that's Wigan. I think that's the Sean Way way. They always compete, don't they? They're never, you know, that's drilled into every player in that squad. And it is quite a deep squad. But I think St Helens just knew they had to tough it out. It was one of those physical grinding games. Mm. And they can do that. They can turn it on and be the great entertainers. But they're also very tough as well, very competitive.
Mm. And in people like Luke Thompson, they've got some of the players of the season already, who's just been an absolute revelation.
By the way, Roby.
Yeah, he's just getting better. And also someone who I've been impressed with, who I know Scully was always a big fan of last year, is John Wilkin. He's been very, very good.
If John Wilkin, right, I'm going to say this now, doesn't kick the ball, which he hasn't been doing.
No, he hasn't.
He is, in my opinion, one of their most influential players. And the best thing you can say about John Wilkin now is there is a lull when he goes off the field.
Yeah. He's their
Sean. Not quite as good when he's off the
field. He's their Sean O'Loughlin in many ways. He's the experienced
plays
guy
the
that
line.
And he'll, if he starts a game, he'll put you in a position where you might be able to win it. Then he'll go off, and then when you need an impetus, he'll come back on and just say, right, I'll. And he's playing slightly differently. He's almost playing as an auxiliary standoff at the moment, and it's sort of working for them really, really, really well.
I think, in fairness to Scott, he's always said he's a great back rower.
He's just not a halfback. And I think I heard an interview with him recently when he did play a lot of halfback under Nathan Brown. He didn't want to do that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But he was told to do it for the team, and
that's
what a good professional
does.
He's
not going to do it. He's just, sorry, mate. No, I can't play.
Is he out of contract at the end of the season?
I think he is. I think he's indicated that he wants to play on, but he must be coming up to 34. But I mean, the form he's in, you definitely resign him. Yeah.
Right. Go on then, Rich.
Well, John has sent us a message. This season, Gaelic football introduced the Super 8s to their comp, being a financial disaster. Aren't they all amateurs though in Gaelic football? That's what the A and GAA stands for, the first one. Who cares?
Go on.
Apart from Brian.
Is he the only person that's messaged?
No.
I'm going to say we're getting a bit worried then.
Rick says, up the facts, written off again, still delivering the bacon, one more to go. Carl on Salford, they're a disgrace to Super League, he says. He's put his house that they'll fold at the end of the year.
Please gamble responsibly.
To be fair, says Darren, if all the supporters chip in with £1, they may be able to get a new kit bag.
Hey!
Austin says, can you give a shout out to Red Star Belgrade? Unbelievable work going on in Serbia. Happy to chat to you guys anytime about it. So we get a free trip to Serbia.
Don't you might be able to read about it in the next issue of 4020.
Ah, there you go. Well, they are a Serbian team of choice then, aren't they? Red Star. Who else could we support?
What, in Serbia or throughout the world of rugby?
Well, I meant in Serbia, really. I mean, I've put you on the spot. I get that.
Churdim Rabbits?
Not rabbitos, rabbits.
There's no rhinos, is there? There's no rhinos.
No.
Oh, wasn't there a rhinos team in Germany?
Rawport Rhinos in Germany, you can support if you want.
Did they lose as well?
They finished, I think, fourth out of four. So,
top four.
Good way of getting into the top four is if there are only four teams.
That's it. Is that Gary Etherington's new plan?
Just cut the league down to four. Saints, Leeds, Wigan, and Moynton playing each
amateur club. Yeah.
Well, he's been selected in the German squad for their forthcoming World Cup internationals. So,
very good.
People moaning that York had players on dual red yesterday. It's the rules, for crying out loud. How many players have Bradford got on loan from clubs? It's not the same. It's the same thing. Sent Jordan Lilly back to Leeds.
James Green. I don't know if he played yesterday.
He did.
Yeah.
Pete on Halifax says, Richard Marshall, coach of the year again, perhaps. Amazing with the resources available. It's amazing. All these people doing good jobs. Not moaning. Mark says, Wakefield must re-sign a runner. Well, maybe what a runner thinks he's worth and what Wakefield thinks he's worth are completely different things.
Yeah.
Didn't enjoy the way
Liam Finn rumoured to be leaving.
Yeah, apparently so. Well, no, Brian Hampshire's great, yeah, isn't he? So, you know.
Would you be upset?
Well, he's probably at the end of his, I don't say usefulness, but usefulness in Super League. So,
I like Liam Finn. He's a good player. I would rather see him playing every week than playing three times in every team at Wakefield. Personally,
whether Ryan Hampshire's the answer, I don't know. He's been playing well recently, but he's also needs to play for a contract, doesn't he?
Would you have drink water at Wakefield? Because he's obviously off contract. It looks like Matty Smith's going to Catalan, so, yeah.
Well, Wakefield fans would take him. So, well, there's enough money to...
Is there too much of a similarity between Miller and Drinkwater?
No, I think
Drinkwater is an organiser. He's a proper seven.
Physically, are they big enough as a half-back pairing? They're going to get targeted.
Oh, this is from a team that had Danny Maguire and Rob Burrow at half-back. How can you ask questions like that? Really?
Well, because Kevin Sinfield and Danny Maguire was the halfback pairing, and Rob Burrow came off the bench.
No, I don't think defensively. Nah. I don't think that's a worry. I think they're both solid enough defenders, but I think that partnership could work well. Obviously, we'll see what happens.
I think you could defence that outside Kenny Edwards, Phil.
Kenny,
come here, Kenny, tackle that fella. Well done, Kenny.
I saw an interesting clip on social media. You might be able to confirm this for me, Phil, but Phil Gould was saying that Cliffy Lyons was one of the all-time greats of rugby league, hiding in the defensive line. He played for Leeds, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And for Sheffield? Mm-hmm. Was he hiding?
No, yeah. he was you saw him play for
Man. He was one of the greatest creative players, but he wasn't known for his defence.
Well, Scully always said it
was probably a man after Scully's heart, wasn't he, when it comes to tackling?
Yeah. Well, they managed to play in the same team, so...
Yeah.
Going back to Tweet of the Week in League Express, Mark
says... Don't get paid for that. Don't get like a tenner or something. Did I give him my permission to use it?
Are you in the
League Express?
It was only my comment about the visa situation.
It's a tweet, but it's not a particularly amusing one, or is it?
Hold on, whoa.
He's eating all the pies.
Can't you just go back to offending the listeners?
Yeah.
Instead of offending me.
Can I slag off the Warrington Guardian next?
I'll tell you what, you've opened your sights, let's see what happens.
Local newspapers. I know there's no money in local newspapers anymore, and I know you've got no resources. Well, tough. Stop taking stories off the internet and making them into news. People just make up rugby league rumours and they end up in the paper, like the Fifita thing. And I'm not bothered if he leaves or goes, to be honest.
Don't lie.
Well, we all love Big Dave. Yeah, sorry about that. Cult hero. I'm not that bothered because, you know, bigger and better players have left Wakefield in the year since 1873. But
most of them to Leeds.
Yeah. But local newspapers.
Right, smart ass.
Don't just get things off the internet and turn them into stories. Mark says... Because then people believe it and they get upset. Because people are demanding Michael Carter comes out and makes a statement. If you had to make a statement on every rumour on the internet, he wouldn't get any time to do whatever he does elsewhere at the club, like clean it up and stuff. people are idiots. Mark says, surely it's wrong that Toronto have made in the middle eights playing against sides that have lost key players to visas. Well, here's a message, Mark, for all those players. Don't be criminals. Don't be criminals, you get a visa.
I have some sympathy with Mark's position in that there is now a story in today's paper saying that the Canadian High Commission have become involved and there is going to be a willingness to allow people to play even though they have minor convictions. Mm. That should have been sorted out at the beginning of this season for all teams. They're coming over for a very limited amount of time to play in a sporting environment. They're not there to do anything other than be in a hotel, play a game, be in a hotel, fly home. And there are plenty of sports teams that enhance the area that they're going to for a very short period of time and then leave. And the fact that the Canadian High Commission can do it for Widnes and Hull KR, they should have been able to do it for all the other clubs as well. By the same token, the RFL, knowing this was going to be an issue, should have been able to sit down with all the interested parties
several
and say, on condition that you come into this competition, this has to happen, not wait until, some Super League teams are threatening not to go because their best players might not be available.
Mm-hmm. And how many, in terms of players, how many players are we thinking have got, criminal records? Is it 1%, 5%, 10%?
I was led to believe that Widnes were concerned that four of their highest eight earners wouldn't be able to play in the game.
I think Salford would have some issues if they were going. They're not going out, but Hull KR clearly have some players who are coming off misdemeanours that presumably wouldn't be allowed to go to Canada.
Yeah.
So, but Ryan Bailey was able to play for Toronto last year, and he had a criminal conviction.
Born in Ontario.
Was it not more that they wouldn't get in? It was more that they wouldn't get an instant. Like you can apply and you get instantly accepted.
I think that's
and
been one of
the. And then it goes longer, and I think the process, time process.
I think, and that's some of the other clubs haven't actually been very, haven't used their vision to actually say, okay, we're going to need to apply for this guy. And with often in these cases, you need to be prepared months in advance.
So we'll just blame the Canadians, it's their fault.
Canadians in Manchester, yep.
I get what you're saying, but about the, don't get a criminal record, etc.
Or if you have got one, make sure the clubs do the stuff properly.
But you've also got to assume that the clubs have got staff that can do that, and part of the problem in League One, especially in some of the Championship clubs this year, has been that they don't have full-time operatives who can
spend in the Super League clubs as well.
3 days going through the procedure to get a visa 6 months in advance and the unlikely event that they may need to use it.
What's the squad builder on now, Rich?
£500 still. And people should stop abusing people on social media.
Right,
as well.
Okay.
Just in general.
Well, you do it on the radio. Why can't they do it on social media?
Because I'm not doing it directly at people. I'm not saying Joe Bloggs is an idiot, even though Joe Bloggs is an idiot.
How do you know?
I just am. There used to be this great radio presenter called Scotty McClue who got told off for saying everyone in Oldham's an idiot. He said, "Well, you can't prove otherwise, can you?" Good old Scott.
But Mr. Sinfield's on the phone.
Do you like working here, Rich?
I don't know. It's all right. Well,
you look quite dashing with your bears on and your beard. You're looking well today.
Tired. Been a long day.
Aren't you having all your hair shaved off?
Yes, I am, yes.
Which is laudable. October, yeah. Absolutely laudable.
So I'm growing it now until October.
That was one of the highlights of the Magic Weekend. One day, Rich is there, all his bit. The next day, he woke up, hangover, completely no beard. You think he'd robbed a chippy and then...
chicken cottage, that was the problem. Probably chicken cottage.
Had to change his appearance.
Yeah, right. He was a new man.
Didn't pay for me chicken. he'd stop abusing people on social media. Mind you, funny thing was yesterday at the game, people shouting abuse at Chris Kendall when Wakefield was 60-0 up.
He said, "Rest."
Yeah. But he was touch judge. You weren't even the ref. Oh, Kendall, get a flag out of here. And then moaning that we might get James Child on Friday. Don't matter. Season's over now. Enjoy the games. Go along and enjoy yourself.
Are you getting on the bus tour now? Is that it booked, is it?
Well, I'm not there on Friday because I forgot to tell you I can't work on Friday. I'm off to a wedding, I forgot to tell you. But I'll tell you on air now, so it's...
Yeah, there's a time and a place.
Well, I know. So I'm going to miss all the games on Friday, Sally, including the exciting Hull Derby. Why don't they play for the Clive Sullivan Trophy like they do pre-season? Make it more meaningful.
Well, it's another great scheduling, isn't it? One game on Thursday, we've got four on Friday.
Yeah.
Marvellous. Fantastic.
Yeah. Steve says I should give the money to Salford.
Which game's on the telly? Have they confirmed that?
The whole
Hull Derby.
Yeah. Oh.
Because it's so meaningful.
Yeah. Get in. So all those 15,000 now going, I've bought my ticket, I'm still not going. Watch it on the telly.
Danny says, if the £1 million game is in Toronto, is that fair for the travelling team?
Well, what if it's in Toulouse?
What if it's in Salford?
I think Salford would take the £1 million game now. Yeah. Chop your arm off for it.
What if it's in Widnes on the high pitch?
Don't know.
What if it's in... Where else could it be?
All right, I get the message. Let's move on.
Elsewhere, Daniel, with why a squad being quite thin and letting Crosby on loan to Leeds, which I find bizarre at this stage in the season, he says, will Warrington look to bring in someone before Friday in the forwards prop department? Have they got a page going as well on Just Giving? I don't know.
What do you reckon? Crosby to Leeds? Strange one, that is. He's on his way out of the club.
They needed him. I mean, they needed... If one of the reasons why Leeds are in the position that they're in is that their injuries have centred around the big men, and merely having the ability to rotate. Crosby did nothing other than exactly what you would want from a Galloway-type prop, took the ball up all day, never looked to offload, took the first or second carries, took the weight of pressure off people like Cuthbertson and Garbutt so they could have more of a rest, and did nothing other than just be big and tough and stand his ground in the middle of the field. That will stand Leeds in good stead for the remainder of this season. Whether it's going to lead to a full deal, I'm not sure. I thought Crosby was one of the people earmarked for Salford. Presumably that's what the first 500 quid's for.
Oh, the reason, it's just 25 quid now.
525 quid.
Yeah. Get us a page set up. Get money for nothing.
Yeah, we should ask Gemma Carter. She's Salford's biggest celebrity fan. Is she not donating?
I've heard a rumour that she could be defecting to York. Jumping on the York bandwagon.
Is that right?
She's a James Ford fan.
Yeah. Well, the more they win, the bigger the support comes.
Fair enough.
Elsewhere, she doesn't like mushrooms, but I said Reading 40-20 magazine, which was a great conversation on Twitter last week. With no Championship Shield semi-final, says Dan. I don't know. People still don't realise there's no split in League One. It just is going on forever. People don't know there's no League One Shield this year because they've given it away. Nigel took it as part of his payoff. Got the League
It was
the
silver salver that his money was on.
Yeah. The League One Shield. Where did the rest of the money go? Anyway, with no Championship Shield semi-finals, ask the gaffer when he's seen. Lee and Fev, or whoever finished 5th and 6th in the Championship, are just waiting 7 weeks to play each other in the final.
In a game they don't want to be in for a trophy they don't want, because it proves that they're the two teams that didn't quite get to where they wanted to be. It's something else we've got wrong. We shouldn't be focusing on anything other than excellence.
Rewarding mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
Who won the Shield? I can't remember who won the Shield last year. Featherstone won it the first year.
Toulouse.
Bradford won it the second year.
Bradford beat Sheffield.
Toulouse beat Sheffield last year in Toulouse.
They may well have.
If you know, let us know.
It's so meaningful. We have no idea.
Sarah Jane says, you got anything nice to say about Whitehaven? I don't know.
Well, they're in the top five.
They let proper sports show the game live as opposed to Workington, so we leave on their side for that.
Yeah. they are now our favourite Cumbrian side.
Yeah. Them and Carlisle Border Raiders.
I would ask her, what would she do to get more than 660 people there for a home game when they are in the mix for potential promotion playoffs? What is it that the people of Whitehaven want that they're not getting at the moment?
A winning team, that's what Scully says.
Well, but they are a winning team. You know, they're above the line that says they would be in the playoffs.
That's the biggest fallacy, that people just want to see a winning team.
They don't.
I mean, I saw that. I think Rich tweeted it during the week about a politician from the Salford area.
Oh, Salford, yeah, complaining that no one goes to watch
them. When they were coming second last year, the crowds weren't that much bigger. It's just wrong.
Politicians of rugby league, I've got a bit of a bee in my bonnet about those.
It's making things an event, and we go back to Coventry, who we've had some fabulous results this weekend, some teams that have excelled and exceeded, but I'm not sure anybody's done more or better than Coventry have in beating not only an established team from the north of England, but beating a team that beat them, 8 weeks ago by 90-odd points. But Coventry are building very slowly. It's 400-odd people there this week. But it's the same 400 people that go in every week. They're building something. What is happening at places like Whitehaven, where crowds are in a traditional area are going down? I think, again, be happy to give Whitehaven any publicity we can. But what is it that the people of Whitehaven want to go out and support their team?
Yeah,
there's a great blog by a Coventry Rugby Union fan as well, who seems to have got the bug of watching the Bears and enjoys the fact they play entertaining rugby. Mm. And that's got to be key as well. You've got to have reasonable expectations of where your club is and what they can do.
Absolutely.
But then if they play well, and they try is a spurious concept almost, isn't it, in a professional stroke, semi-professional sport, but if they have a go and play well and excitedly and they entertain you, what more can they do?
Just go, who was it? Just go up the comments there. Someone said that we're being Salford.
James, yeah.
Yeah.
You hate Salford, you're a disgrace. There's people's jobs on the line. People in the real world, loads of people are losing their jobs at the minute.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not our fault, James.
Go stand outside Pant World or something.
Salford spent money that they ain't got buying players that were on too much money. You know, I'm reading the paper today. Red Devils are chasing, making a sensational move for Lachlan Coote.
Is that where they're spending the 20
That's
grand?
That's not going to happen.
A club source told League Express the Red Devils have made an official expression of interest with Coote's representatives. Well, I've got news for you, right? Richard Shaw Wright made an official expression of interest to date Miss World, but we've not heard anything back yet. With fingers crossed.
Bad times.
You know, just needs a shave.
He just
be
needs
fine.
A shave, yeah. And we're told he's got every chance. Yeah, stop being just guff.
Hey, the thing is, if you're putting out a Just Giving page because you're about to go bust, how can you be signing Lachlan Coote?
Yeah, and if you are going bust, right, this is serious. Come out and tell everyone you're going bust, right? Sell some players that they could sell. They could have sold Rob Bluey all season, right? If you're going bust, don't be begging off your fans. Run your own club properly, right? And this is coming. I'm a Bradford fan, so my club have bust themselves and prostituted themselves and done whatever else they've done to themselves, right? And they're paying the price for it, and the same should happen to Salford. So if they do get relegated and the tea lady loses her job, then I feel for the tea lady, yeah, but you should be mourning at the idiot who signed all the players on all those hundreds of thousands of pounds that have walked away and seen him get relegated.
What do you think the incentive is for Marwan Kukash to pay Jackson Hastings' wages at the moment?
Why is he still even involved in that club? Well,
Are the RFL allowing him to be involved when the whole of the pre-season was he was transferring ownership to somebody else? I know he's probably coming in as a commercial partner on this one. It might be that it's his hotel in Liverpool that is putting more money in. But as a governing body, should we not be saying, look, we've done the due diligence here? You pass the ownership over. We can't register this player because we don't think that you can afford to pay him
Your book's on the live salary cap, so you haven't got any money.
And we've asked you to drop the salary cap this year because we looked at your accounts.
I completely agree. I don't know why, right, he's still in. And as I said earlier, why didn't he do this 2 months ago when a couple of decent players might have got them out at the bottom four and might help the club? We spoke to people at Salford and they've got some great plans, but those plans are entirely 100% dependent on getting 1.8 million off the RFL or Super League next season. If they don't get that, that club will go under. It's as simple as that.
I don't. Going back to what Richard said right at the very beginning, I don't ever know of a club that put up a site for fans to give to buy a player in a top flight division of any sport.
Well, Bradford did, didn't they? They put the begging bowl out.
Yeah, but they didn't.
That
they weren't.
Well.
They weren't asking for people to buy a player.
It's pathetic. Yeah, but they can't buy it. That is open. No. So you pledge next week. Well, that's paying the gas bill. That's not paying for whoever. That's paying the gas bill.
Or the wages of the current
players. And if they haven't got the money, if they haven't got the money, sell Rob Lewis to Hull KR. Hull KR would have bought him. They'd have paid probably 100 grand for him.
And he wanted to
sell it.
He wanted to go Rob Lewis.
It's disgusting. Yeah. It's disgusting.
Craig Kopjack is another one who's consistently been linked with other clubs.
Particularly Wakefield.
He's an asset. Yeah. If your business is in trouble, you have to sell your assets.
Take your medicine.
So, you know... Yes, it's disgraceful that people might lose their jobs, but if this was being treated as a business in the retail world, you would have to make decisions like that.
Professional sport is a business. Yeah. That's the crux of it.
James says here, it's a sponsor, not the club that has set this up. Why don't the sponsor just give the money then? Why are they begging the fans to give money?
It's disgusting. You know,
by the way, while we're just settling things, Robert Wood on Twitter... Yes, I was a miserable person on the Wakefield Fans Forum because Wakefield were crap in the mid-2000s. And let me tell you, Robert Wood, every single thing I said about the regime that ran the club was right because look where they ended up.
Right, simple as. Do you want to set this outside? Or?
Robert, you could defend, the, way you can bit, defend the Richardsons and the Rogersons as much as you want, but they put the club in the situation it's in now where they don't own the ground.
Mm. And, that's the single biggest
issue.
And
they were crap at media, and they were crap at everything they did.
And it's a lovely ground, isn't it, Rich? Yeah. It's the home of rugby league.
That's why the club's where it is now. So, yeah, might have been miserable on the forums, but I was right. And I'm not often right.
I think rugby league and miserable go together pretty well anyway.
But you look, talk about Wakefield, I mean, like Salford, they're a club with many similar sort of issues. Obviously not the ground issue, but they're run well. You know, they're not.
Well, they have a ground issue because they don't own their own ground either.
That's exactly. But they don't have a lot of money, but they are run. They don't go out and spend big money. You know, they're run very professionally, very smartly. You know, they'd probably do need to invest in other areas like marketing, that sort of thing, corporate support. But they've managed a sort of a formula to keep themselves afloat. And, you know, that's what clubs like Salford need to look at, what people like Wakefield are doing, and try and copy that, because they can't go out and try and spend, which they did in the Kukash era, all these money on Rangi Chase and all these sort of players.
And the problem
that just
for the new
perform.
Guys coming in, who are, don't get me, this is not a blast at the new people in terms of how they've run the club. They have inherited a bucket of
They're playing with a bad set of cards, aren't
and
they?
And they have got nothing they can do with it. And if they do sell their players, does that then kill the fans that go and they, well, what's the point in going? But it's a very difficult. They're gambling that the club is going to be good enough to stay up. Hmm. They're gambling on that. And if it is, then fair play. Hopefully they can then set the club up like Wakefield do and run it properly. Yeah. But at the minute, they've inherited such a bad situation. But, the guy who created that situation is still lauded like he's some kind of saviour.
I think that's the key point. They didn't take the club over in a good a good state.
They could have said, you know what, we don't need the hassle here. Let it go, boss. I'm not bothered. I don't need to be working 50 hours a week for nothing, which is probably what a lot of them are doing. Why do they need
that? Well, Ian Watson, from what I've heard, has been training and, you know, getting his ribs busted and whatever, because they haven't got enough bodies to do training sessions.
I think he could do a far better job at a far better club.
Yep.
But he's sticking in there. He's trying his best.
And one of the things that Wakefield did, in the knowledge that they couldn't spend the full salary cap, one of the things that Huddersfield have just started doing is they've invested in youth and juniors. Yeah. Those players are now coming through. You know, Max Jowett is proving his worth. Tom Johnson just signed a gilt edge contract.
Bachelor.
You're looking at Huddersfield now, and some of the kids that are coming through at Huddersfield are really exciting prospects that look like they're going to be a retaining club rather than a selling club like they did with the King brothers, because there was no prospect that they were ever going to get through into a first team at Huddersfield. What are Salford doing about that?
I spoke to Andy Kelly the other day, and it makes his job easier. When he's talking to kids about things, they'd offer bucket loads of money, but they say, well, look at him and him and him. They're all playing the first team.
They started in our academy.
Yeah.
They went out maybe on dual registration or loan to complete their education. They're now deemed to be full and paid up members of the first team squad. So Salford go, right, there's no academy.
Yeah.
We do have a dual registration, but we can't really use it because we haven't got enough players to send out on dual registration. But we are signing Jackson Hastings.
Mm. Well, you look at the...
And, you've got your priorities wrong.
You look at the centre that Wigan signed last week,
Chris Hankinson.
Yeah, apparently been really good in the championship at Barrow and Swinton.
Was at Lee, wasn't he, apparently?
He was at Lee, but crucially, I'm not sure if he's from Salford, but he was at Salford's academy. It went under. He almost, you know, gave up the sport. Thankfully he did.
Played well, actually.
Yeah, well, thankfully.
Certainly going forward, he looks a player.
Yeah, but he didn't have that path, did he, at Salford? And he could have easily given
could
up
be
and said...
a Salford player now.
Yeah.
Is one of the other issues at Salford the same as we spoke about last week with clubs like Keighley, who have, you know, Barrow, Whitehaven, who've asked for public subscription? Does Salford know who their rugby public are? They know they've got a core of 2,000, but even if they were top of the league, where is the support going to come from? So if you're a businessman that wants to get involved, if you are a governing body that wants to give them a little bit more latitude, what's the plan? Are there more fans out there? And how do you get them in? You know, all that has got to be part of your appeal. That go back to York and what they've done this year is that they made a conscious decision that social media was the way ahead, and that they came up with some very clever campaigns to put themselves front and centre so that people said, do you know what, I might go along and sample a bit of this. They're now getting on average, 1,200 fans, whereas this time
for
last
League
year,
One.
What would they have been getting?
Yeah.
600. What are Salford doing about that? It's all very well signing a player, But the whole infrastructure of the club's got to change, surely.
Oh, it's too sensible, this.
Yeah, I can't hold my head too much.
Come give us your money. Give us your money.
Has Gemma tweeted it?
Yes, actually, she has.
Need to know what she thinks.
It's a sponsor who is one of the two new board members. Can you lend me a tenner for the pot?
No.
Zulu's money that York weren't onside for the whole game yesterday. Oh, God, you're top of the league still. You're going to go up.
York for the first 20 minutes were absolutely fantastic. Barely made a mistake, got right in the faces of Bradford. Played a lovely brand of rugby that saw the ball go wide as often as they could and thoroughly deserved to be 24-0 up. It was brilliant that Bradford got so close to overturning it. I don't know whether a draw would have been a fair result. I think you've got to be there to fully get the picture rather than be watching it on a screen. But it was just, you could not take your eyes off it for a moment. And full credit to both teams for that.
Elsewhere in the world of social media, all our listeners, of course. When I say people are idiots, it's not our listeners. People forget this. It's all the other people. Nicholas says, we need to foster a rugby league culture in the Salford-Manchester region over a long period of time to develop players and a sustainable fan base for a Super League team.
But isn't that the issue that he's just hit upon there is exactly the point? Salford, Manchester. Surely you've got to be your own identity. You can't be continually saying we want to be somewhere else or something else or attached to something else. If you're going to be Salford, market yourself around whatever assets you've got in the city of Salford.
For how long, Phil, probably know this, how long has rugby league been played? But it's got a great history.
Yeah, right back to the beginning. Yeah.
So it's not like it's a new sport that's hit the area. You know, it's not rugby league's not new in Manchester.
But if you keep saying you want to be Manchester or you want to ally yourself with Manchester, no, it's City of Salford Football Club, which I don't know a lot about, but isn't that the team that the Manchester United guys have taken over and are building?
Yep.
But they're not doing it under City of Manchester. They're doing it under City of Salford. So whatever they're doing that you side, I genuinely don't know. But all I do know, being only vaguely aware that they exist, is that they're doing something.
Well,
and they're doing it
brand,
in the name of Salford.
Yeah, they've got a bigger brand than a lot of probably League One clubs, yeah.
And a bigger brand than the rugby league club that's been there a lot longer.
Yeah.
Let's bring Karlsruhe Merturfel into Super League.
The new German champions.
They are the new Steeden Bundesliga champions, having beaten the Westfalen Warriors 26-20. 2018 also saw a record number of people playing rugby league in Germany.
There you go.
After the World Cup debacle, maybe they're going to flock to rugby league. No more football.
Better than football.
Mesut Ozil is signing for Westfalen Warriors.
Get Angela Merkel on board. You're all good. Looking forward to get some German investment. All those car companies or whatever. Invest in that rugby league. Apparently, Nigel, his wife is watching the one show.
Oh, yeah, we've been on, apparently.
Yeah. PDRL was on there. Adam Hills is on there.
Yeah.
Plugging his book.
Brilliant.
So,
well, they were at the game on
they were. I asked the lady
Friday.
That was doing the filming. She was disabled herself, by the way.
An athlete.
Yeah. But she never replied to me on social media. But that was obviously what it was for.
Brilliant.
The good news is for all
but
people.
Again, the sport.
Yeah.
Look at that and what we're going to do about it.
I mean, the good news is for old people like me who've got Virgin Media at home, now I have access to Free Sports. So I can watch all the great rugby league content on a channel that people think should show the championship when their live rugby league gets less than 10,000 viewers.
Is it a worrying thing or is it a good thing that probably the most exciting parts of the sport at the moment are PDRL and the women's game? I'm just asking that as a question.
It's exciting because there genuinely is hope there of getting new fans, potential new sponsors, new role models.
But also the way they're being marketing and the streaming, there's a lot
the
of good things happening.
The problem is, I'm not sure the governing body is fully behind it.
Yep.
I don't think they see the value of it. I don't think they promote it enough. I think the whole debacle over where the Women's Cup final is going to be played tells you that. I think they're interested in it only in terms of participation. I don't think they've devoted staff to it at Redhall. So it's burgeoning in popularity and interest in spite of rather than because of. And it's something that the game needs to desperately get hold of because I was talking to a major solicitors firm that are already sponsored the PDRL. And they said, you know, yeah, we have branches all over. We're interested in corporate social responsibility. A lot of the clients that we service come out of backgrounds where we're doing work where we want to put something back into the community because they're from deprived areas or they've got issues that we represent them for. We find that this is a far more relevant sponsorship to us than putting our badge on a Super League team. I don't think as a sport we've realised that we've now got a portfolio of products that appeal to different people, and we need to grab hold of that pretty quickly. I think there's a chance that PDRL will get an international dimension sooner rather than later. It already has in Australia and New Zealand. I think the women's game could be anything, but like the PDRL, there's loads of stories that we need to tell that we're not.
One thing that was promising from the 2021 World Cup event that I went to last week was that the women's game is going to have a much bigger focus for that World Cup, and they really are. John Dutton, you know, basically admitted that rugby league had been behind football and cricket and rugby union when it came to women's sport, but they are making a big investment. And the women's part of the World Cup, unlike 2017, where it was kind of an afterthought, and you weren't really able to go and see England versus Australia in the men's, and then England versus Australia in the women's in terms of the locations. But they're actually going to be a really much bigger focus, and all the women, all their costs and fees are apparently going to be paid for, which is a big step forward.
Mm. Good stuff.
Well, when are you playing again? Do you know yet?
Or
you
no, that's it now.
Is that the end of the season? You're done.
Yeah. You might have another fixture.
All right. Where at?
Well, I think there are a couple of teams that are coming on stream that might be looking for fixtures if they manage to get enough players to train in, and I think you might be playing possibly against Wigan.
Ooh.
Maybe Widnes, possibly Hull KR.
Can't play on the high pitch. Got bad knees.
Well, that's a really. But no, that is a really interesting one. How do you play a PDRL game on an high pitch?
Yeah,
we'll get the. Bloke
playing with one arm and damaged whatever, and I've got bad knees, so I can't play. Perfect.
Elsewhere, Vinci says all this money stuff is caused by the jeopardy of boom or bust promotion relegation. It was said 4 years ago, and it's going to domino over the next couple of years.
My real worry for all of the people that I understand, like the Eights, is that if we get to the point next week where Featherstone and Lee are not in and we are on the verge of losing two clubs, is it worth it?
Well, you just go back to that $500,000 parachute payment. Mm. I mean, what has that actually been spent on apart from NRL journeyman? And what has that actually...
But what, what stipulations were put on that money?
Were there
as
any?
To what it had to be spent on?
But that's basically just $500,000 that's gone down the drain, hasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they don't make the four...
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone.
Gone. Yeah. And they still... Surely, for me, the idea of parachute payments is you can retain all the players that you signed... Yep. They've that binned loads off. That for me.
Yeah, that should be surely your first priority. We were told that the big downside to the £1 million game was that livelihoods were at stake for the team that lost. So the other Super League club said, we will put money in, £500,000. You can secure some of these people whose livelihoods are now on the line. And Lee said, no, we'll get rid of them and bring some others in with that £500,000. Yeah. It's supposed to be for infrastructure as well. So. I don't know how the money was spent. I'm sure that it will become an issue if Lee don't make the top four next week.
Mm, we will see.
We had a message from John about refereeing in the NRL. It's worse than ours. basically, the New Zealand Warriors have taken a leaf out of Castleford's book and many other teams by tweeting their upsets with officials during games. High tackle says at NZ Warriors, and then they retweet their own tweet and go, oh, wait, it's Cam Smith. Because these are the players Leeds need at the moment to referee them around the pitch. But Cameron Smith did not get penalised for a high tackle. And all the refs in Australia are rubbish. So there you go, the NRL, not as good as Super League.
I think the funny thing on the bit on the weekend, apart from Ricky Stewart's comments that the bunker is a joke and a farce, is that Todd Greenberg came out and said the referees will be dropped for the mistake and they should be accountable.
Right.
I mean...
I've not seen it. Was it a bad one?
It was. I mean, they've got a history of losing tight games this season, last season. They're world masters at it.
But they didn't play to the ref, did they? They played to the touch judge.
No, well, the touch judge, yeah, basically...
Didn't he put his flag up or something?
He put his flag up. I think the ref saw that, and then all the Raiders players stopped and thought, all right, well, we won't defend. And Katoa scored, and they ended up losing. But it's just interesting that Todd Greenway, the head of the NRL, has come out and said referees are accountable. But in terms of the RFL point of view, are they accountable? I mean, there's always a lot of campaigns about not criticising referees, which I completely understand, and we need to encourage more people to take up the whistle. But should there be some accountability, whether it is a Super League referee sent down to the championship for a week or whatever, or some sort of monitoring system, I don't know.
Wasn't Jack Smith at the doing the Halifax game yesterday? But I got some plaudits for the way he handled the game. I think it was Jack Smith, so...
Okay.
Elsewhere, Bilko's been on saying that one of the things that helps York is the fact that their ground is 10 minutes away from the city centre as opposed to Salford, who's, you know, is in the middle of nowhere. And on a road no one can get to.
Well,
that would be...
And York having a new bespoke ground, yes, built as well.
Yeah. Imagine that. It's actually been built and everything. I've seen it. Imagine that, the council building a community stadium.
Look at the Sheffield Eagles experience. You know, beware the bespoke stadium in Wolf's clothing.
Yeah. But also refer back to going full-time when they didn't have a ground to play out of. That has to be one of the worst decisions in rugby league history.
Well, they thought we can get into Super League here. This will solve all our problems, but it won't.
Yeah. They gambled and they lost.
I live in Sheffield and there just isn't enough, you know, done in terms of promotion of the club or marketing of the club or on the junior base to sort of garner support for the club. And it is a sporting city, you know.
Yeah.
Here's a good question from David.
Sorry, Jack Smith was at Featherstone, by the way.
All right.
And got plaudits for his performance.
Here's a question from David. What happens if two go down regarding parachute payments? Do they both get £500,000?
What answer you got? Are they? Is it written in?
Don't ask good questions, David. We don't know the answer.
I don't think there'll be any parachute payments this year. Not when $2 million. The RFL's $2 million in debt and
parachutes with no holes, with holes in it, no.
But the
no
parachute
strings.
Payment came from the Super League clubs, not the RFL. So I don't think they would have a spare £500,000.
What about if Toronto got in? Would they get any funding? They won't get any funding, would they?
No, they won't get any central distribution.
Why shouldn't they?
Well, I'm very concerned that a club is being propped up by one wealthy businessman. It seems a very unsustainable format for a sports club to be run by.
We can't let a businessman prop up a club.
Can't let Toronto in. Keep them out. Keep them back in Canada.
Why shouldn't they be allowed to have a share of a cake if they are a member of that division? Where there is cake.
Oh, Wakefield weren't allowed any cake originally when they came into Super League and then got fined for trying to sign Jason Robinson in the ridiculous thing. And John Olomu.
Still the only team out of the two to be tapping off.
John Olomu and Jason Robinson on each wing would have been pretty handy.
And the Johns brothers.
Anyone else?
Steve McNamara and Paul Sampson. All went well after
did
that.
Did they drug test the board at that time?
I think the chief executive disappeared under a cloud halfway through that season. You have to ask an aforementioned person about that. I'm sure he's got some great stories about Wakefield in those days. Yeah, but we did get the flats, though, which is another thing that we never paid for either.
Oh, dear.
No, but they're still nice, the flats. You know, they're still there.
Aye.
Sell them for scrap one day.
Where's Gabwin Springer going, John? You'll know. You're a man that knows.
I don't, actually. He's not getting much game time at Cats, is he? But
he's been told he can go.
Maybe they'll be saying don't go, considering they had three props get injured on Friday night. Mm. Matt Cook, Jesse Sinalefeo and Millington. I think there was a bicep, a hammy and an ankle. So I'd imagine they're going to be needing some front rowers.
Possibly. We will see. Mason Caton Brown being linked with Hull Kingston Rovers.
He's like the odd man out, isn't he, at the moment of the three. As said at the start of the season, Wakefield had a lot of depth to their squad, and I guess if you've got Tom Johnston, if you've got Ben Jones Bishop, who are playing really well, and a slightly better player than Mason Caton Brown, then. As a young player,
which
is somebody wants to play elsewhere.
That's how Wakefield got Ben Jones Bishop, because he couldn't. He was too good to be hanging around waiting for Ryan Hall or Tom Briscoe to be injured.
And via Salford, where he probably had a good reason to leave Salford.
Could I just pay tribute to Ryan Hall?
Yes, of course you can.
I think it's a phenomenal compliment to him that at the age of 31, a top NRL team thinks that he can do a job. And he can. He clearly can. He's in great form. But you would have thought the way the economics are at the moment that they would be picking off the John Batemans, the younger players that are going to be there.
I think they've already got them.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to Canberra.
They're the kind of age of player that they would normally be looking at to have a, you know, a long, extended career. James Graham, Gareth Widdop type career. For Hall at 31 to be offered a contract with the Roosters is not only a phenomenal life experience for him and his family, but is a great compliment to the condition that he's kept himself in. I think he's going to be a wow over there playing outside of Latrell Mitchell. That would be something that you'd want to try once in your life, wouldn't you?
Do you think he might play in the back row?
No, I think he might play on the end of some kicks from Cooper Cronk. he's got James Luke Tedesco Keery out the back.
It's not a bad team.
Boyd Cordner leading the team. But I just think that, you know, I never thought at 31
he would be of interest
to a team that could quite clearly win the grand final next year. So I'd say here and now that he is the sixth generational player who will be leaving Leeds. He's done a phenomenal job. He's a lovely and interesting person as well that we don't have enough of in the sport. But to get the offer to, and even Brisbane were interested, to get that offer to go and live on Bondi at the age of 31 is a testament to him.
You know him well, Phil. Why do you think he's decided to make them? Because it is an odd choice at this point in his career. Why do you think
his family are at the right age?
Yep.
I think his son is 6 and his daughter I think is 2. I think the chance to experience life with the Burgesses on Bondi, where he's got a lot of friends now that are playing in Sydney, the chance to play for a top team. I think it's all about the life experience. I'm not even sure it's too much about money. I believe there were other clubs over here that perhaps would have paid more money if they knew he was available. One of whom wasn't Hull KR.
There was a lot of interest from rugby union as well, wasn't there? Yeah.
But I think the other thing that's changed a little bit now is that you don't lose the opportunity to play for England. It actually enhances it.
Yeah.
So when Malcolm really went in the 70s and played for Manly, he knew he was having to give something up to go and play over there. Now, at the age of 31, he's playing in a better competition that will make him an even better player because he's single-minded enough to make sure that he's not going to be a failure. And that means that he'll be playing for, I think, England / Great Britain for the 2 years that he's in the NRL. So it's a win on all fronts for him.
And the interesting thing is probably no English back has done well in the NRL, maybe since Brian Kearney. You know, he was fairly solid, but not sort of excelled like the props and the back rowers have.
Yeah, even Sean Edwards struggled at Balmain, didn't he, to break into the team. Joe Lydon did okay at...
But I mean, at least in terms of more recent time, do you think he can break that sort of...
Yeah, I think he's got Trent Robinson as his coach, which I think is very important because he's seen...
He knows Super League and what Hall can do.
So he obviously thinks he fits into the style that he wants to play. He's a replacement for Blake Ferguson. Size-wise, they're not too different. So they're not going to have to change their style of play very much. I just think that he will make the most of the opportunity, and he'll have an absolute ball.
Is that an issue when you've got Sutton, Bateman, Hall all going to the NRL? That's two England internationals, and Sutton's probably, if he continues along his path, a future England international.
He's a potential 2021 World Cup player. Yeah, absolutely. But that's the market we're in at the moment. That's why we think Jackson Hastings is a big deal.
Now, he is a very good player. I mean, he's a class player.
Soiled goods.
But we were throwing a lot of praise at Kenny Edwards recently. He was also a very good player, but he would be a lot more soiled than Jackson in terms of his off-field activities.
Bobby Goulding's not happy, by the way.
Go on.
All right.
Former Leeds halfback Bobby Goulding.
Is this about the Rochdale?
It is. We haven't spent much time talking about Leeds today, so I thought I'd throw Leeds in there as a Bobby Goulding reference. Because Rochdale tweeted a picture of themselves in front of their fans in Toronto. And he says, "This team gets 52 put past them, and they are having a team thought as though they won at Wembley. What is rugby league coming to?" Monkey emoji.
They've had a fantastic experience out there. I haven't seen a single player hasn't tweeted, and the coach as well, Alan Kilshaw, saying thank you for this experience.
Yeah,
what's wrong with that?
But they're going into League One, mate, aren't they? They're going into League One as it stands. Is that, you know, they're not a bunch of tourists, Phil.
No, but they've had a great experience as part of their rugby league education.
I think it's a photo with their fans. I think they're honouring the fans who've spent, you know, best part of $600 to go over to Toronto.
$600?
Maybe a lot more.
You get the flights in, we're coming. We'll have $600 cash ready tomorrow.
I can see the point when you have been heavily beaten, but they are just, you know, I think the fans wouldn't have been too happy if they got brushed.
Yeah,
going all that
that's
way.
A fair point. Yeah, it's a fair point.
And to be fair, they haven't been as heavily beaten as some other clubs who've been over there. So maybe it'll be just the incentive they need to go and put a performance at Halifax. We don't know.
We got Bobby Goulding instead of Andrew Johns as well. I don't think we paid him. He had 2+5 on his back because he couldn't have the number 7 shirt because we'd spent all that money on Glenn Tomlinson, the legend from Battle.
Glenn Tomlinson, he's got a stand
there. That's how
good he is.
Yeah. Paid for, well, I say
didn't
paid
he go,
for.
No, he went to Bradford first.
Did he go to Bradford first?
He was at Bradford. Oh, well. Bradford took the, he was number 2. Number 2 at Bradford.
To Robbie?
No, he was squad number 2. Tomlinson,
If you've got any memories of great players from the year 2000, let us know. We had a couple of tweets earlier pulling up Phil's maths. As if it was Rachel Riley or something. David says, is Phil the accountant at the RFL? If Saints have only used 22 players, how can they have used all 25 of their squad? Unbelievable maths.
Defend yourself, Mr. Kaplan. Defend yourself.
Well, they've only used 22 players.
Is that right? Maybe one of the players wore different numbers or something. Brian says, stop peddling this losing money lie. This is to the teams in the eights thing. They don't lose money, they earn less money than they do for the regular match they played, says Brian. So maths and semantics, they're our favourite topics here on Proper Rugby League. On to Cass.
Yes.
Luke says, when Daryl Powell highlighted that certain individuals were causing problems, and that wasn't an issue just this week, who do you lot think he was referring to? Says Luke, throwing it under the bush. I'm going for Jai Hitchcock, since he's watching. He's not in the team.
He's back on Wednesday.
Oh, he's back on Wednesday. Yeah.
6 to 8 debate.
You see, they're trying to get John Wells on, but John Wells is having nothing of it. He's a sensible chap, isn't he?
Ask him if he wants to come on with us, show.
I think on Friday, I think Daryl Powell did mention Greg Eden a couple of times after the game.
Did he?
He had what you would call a shocker.
A shocker?
Yeah, a Paul Carriage moment. He did, yeah, definitely.
Joe Cocker.
Tom's getting angry now, the producer Tom.
Why?
Because he's on the 6 to 8 debate and he didn't like that.
It's his programme, really.
It's his baby. Yeah. It's his baby.
I remember it was called the Ollie Holmes Show.
Very good. His name's not on the show, though, is it?
Go buy your T-shirts with Jai's face on. And don't forget your Leeds in Crisis T-shirts. Get them now.
Still available. Should be good for another couple of years yet, really.
That's what Salford should be doing, selling T-shirts. We've got Salford in Crisis T-shirts. Yeah. We'll donate 0% of all your T-shirts to their squad builder.
When's the Sinfield Out shirt being made?
James Lowe's? No. James Lowe's is the coach. Lowe's out. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I picked up 3 out of the last 4 points. It's the start of the revival.
No, but he's on to 0 now.
You know, he actually believes that as well. That's the worrying thing.
But they start on 0 now. So they've lost all their points.
Yeah, lost them all. Yeah. Are they going to chuck it in this week ahead of the semi-final?
It's on screen now.
No, I think they...
people say I've never seen. No, it is an actual thing. You can buy this.
Yeah.
We were ahead of the curve. We were there at the start of the crisis.
Yeah.
How much will it happen? How much will we have to pay to see Phil and Scully wearing, modelling those shirts for the listeners?
Well, we have to buy them.
Well, Phil will get a kids one, so I think we get a discount for it.
There's no bad
kids. But Scully, sadly, will need an extra big one.
Double extra.
So I'll probably
large.
Have to pay more. So no discount.
Those comments about Toronto, says Sandy, being a novelty trip shows that you haven't been yourself and therefore just a bunch of words with no meaning. Did we say that was one of the people on Twitter? I don't know. I'm looking forward to going to Toronto, but I can't afford to go. But if David Argyle wants to, you know, give us some free flights, if we'd have gone into the bottom four, I would have been, you know, hoping for some kind of invite to Toronto. But we've got as far as Coventry so far for freebies, so Toronto would be a bit stretching it, but. I'm more than happy to get some culture in Toronto, go to the Hockey Hall of Fame and all that kind of thing.
Very good.
Shenton was as much to blame, shocking, says Andy and Sue. Cass were just very poor.
Yeah, very just poor. A bad day at the office.
Huddersfield were good, but Castlewood were not very good. Ryan Hinchliffe, unsung hero for Huddersfield in that game.
He's out of contract. Where's he going to be next year?
Well, I remember I spoke to him at Magic because I thought it was interesting. He actually played with Walford at Canberra. He's not that old, but he was coming the start of his career and Walford was finishing up, and he's keen to play on. I know there was a bit of interest from Wakefield. Well, there was rumoured of Wakefield interest. I don't think that's happening, but I think he's keen to play on. And obviously, with the way Huddersfield are going now, I imagine it would just come down to what sort of size of contract they offer him. I think he's a model pro. You know, he's been really good for the Giants.
I think he was put under unfair pressure when he arrived, being made captain, because I think that
upset
the apple cart a little bit. But talking of Castleford, when's Luke Gale due back? Because he's been posting pictures of him. Close to a comeback.
Surely Super 8s. If you start training now, we think miss this week, then they get a week off. So 3 weeks, then the next.
That's
week.
A huge boost.
And that's going to make a difference.
If he can hit the ground running.
We will see.
Danny says, I'll never go to Toronto. Attending means backing it. As if this is some kind of like Brexit or something. It's just a bloody rugby league club. Just in a different country. It doesn't matter. Does West Wales, because they're foreign, you know, they're in. They might not be in a few years, but they're here now.
7,114.
I'm not going to watch Kent Invicta. They're not proper northerners like what we are, even though all the teams from the north being bussed down. Good old Kent Invicta. Peter says, why didn't they go into the NRL? It's Australia, isn't it? They don't believe there's this.
If they had gone into the NRL, everyone would have been mourning, why didn't we get them in Super League?
Yeah. Questions on the Super 8s and stuff. Stephen says, do the lads think Trinity can cause some problems in the Super 8s?
Yeah,
can, all they those can. Teams outside the top four can be spoilers, can't they?
My only worry is that people won't turn up at Bellevue to watch the games, which is what Wakefield really need. I don't want them to lose money, however well they play. I think that's a bigger issue at the moment. How can you sell these fixtures? Can you sell the idea of we're going to be spoilers? Probably not.
Michael Carter's already said that in previous years, didn't he? The middle eights games made money, but the super eights games didn't.
Yeah, but and then my argument to that is playing Hull KR again next week in a loop fixture, followed by Widnes away, then maybe Wigan at home, but probably on the telly, so no one would, it ain't going to make them any more money, is it?
No. True.
That's the thing.
How is it fair, says Paul, that Super League clubs in the middle eights can throw their money around? Their money? Your money, Salford. To get out. Surely the rule should be a stick with the squad that put in the mire and tough it out against tough championship teams. This is Wakefield's fault for signing Kevin Locke. If they hadn't signed Kevin Locke, no one else would have done this, would they?
But they keep some of their money back. I think the key word is probably there. That's how they structure their salary cap.
I've definitely done that. You know, we're quite open about that, wouldn't they? That they've reserved, and they did that last year, which helped them get promoted.
Ronnie went to Kent Invicta. Did he go to the Bridge and Blue Bulls, whatever they're called? No, what Blue
Gary Bulls. Hetherington went to Kent Invicta as a player.
There you go.
Did he?
Bridge and whatever they were called. Daniel says, what does John Davidson reckon on Blake Austin coming to the Wire? Will he be a success?
I think he's a fantastic signing. I mean, you look at Tyrone Roberts as a marquee. Blake Austin's a lot better player than Tyrone Roberts. I mean, he was close to playing for New South Wales 2 years ago. If he plays to his ability and his potential, he could be, you know, one of the best players in Super League, I think.
And eligible for England.
Eligible for England. We won't mention that because he's not here.
Go on, Blake. I mean, I've only seen a bit of him, but he does look a talent. I'm looking forward to seeing him play.
When he's on song, he's very good. And I think, by all accounts, there's a story, I think, in Canberra where there was a fan who needed a lift, and he picked up a fan on the way and gave him a lift. He's basically, you know, he's a really nice guy, does a lot of charity work. So he should, I think the key thing, and obviously they've struggled with Roberts, is settling in, you know. So if he settles in, you know, with his family, he should be very good for Warrington.
The big question comes from Andy. I've left this one till the last. No singing on the fence. This isn't any other one's podcast. Apart from John's podcast, obviously.
Yeah.
Where do all these podcasts come from? Everyone's got a podcast now. Which is four up? Well, which four is up and which four go down?
Right.
This is Super League, not League One.
Where are we going then? Who wants to start? Phil, you can have first crack.
Because we don't even know who's in the
four. Leeds are staying up.
I think that the results this weekend will see the same teams in the top four in the Championship. So I think we are looking at Halifax, London, Toulouse and Toronto. Of those four, I can only see Toronto being geared up to be a Super League team. I think they've held some money back, and they might be one of the teams this week that sign a player. Of those who would be vulnerable, only really Salford and Widnes. I don't know if there's enough quality at Widnes. I think they're going to run out of players at Salford. If you were to ask me today to pick who was going up and who was going down, I'd say the Wolfpack up and the Red Devils down.
Yeah, I would agree with that, except swap Widnes for Salford. I think particularly Jackson Hastings coming in, and if Joey Lussick does arrive as well, they've really struggled in that sort of organiser halfback role and at hooker. Obviously, with Chris Brenning not played a single game this season, I think that'll be sort of enough to get them through. And I think Widnes, 15 losses in a row, I mean, that just that just kills any mood or any sort of sense of unity in the squad. I think Toronto up and Widnes are going down.
Toronto up. I'm not sure if there'll be two.
I said at the start of the year, I thought
maybe
two.
Maybe Widnes goes straight down, and maybe the £1 million game is Salford versus another. What if it was Toulouse to really explode people's heads? In Toulouse. I don't know. Salford have got too many quality players, haven't they, as opposed to Widnes. And all the Widnes fans you see on social media, they don't blame any of the youngsters who know are trying their best. It's the senior players who they've brought in for money and aren't any good.
Mm.
And I guess, again, it's not their fault. They're not blaming them. They're blaming the people in charge of the club. Widnes goes straight down. Toronto comes straight up, and then it's a bun fight.
Yeah, I think Toronto will come in. I think Widnes will go down, and I also think Salford will go down. I've got a sneaking suspicion, right, that one of the three that have got the golden ticket this weekend in the Championship are going to lose.
Oh.
I think Lee.
I think they're the only other, apart from Toronto, the only with enough sort of talent and enough, you know,
I think Lee could still do some damage in the middle. I think they win. Yeah.
So to lose, I've got Dewsbury. Do you think that?
No, I think they'll be all right.
London Barrow.
That's a banana skin.
It is. They've had a massive 3 weeks.
They need some rain and some mud up there.
They've like had a massive 3 weeks. And I want Halifax to get in.
Rochdale coming back from Toronto, that would be a big ask.
And having just played Lee as well. Yeah. It would be a big ask.
I think
it's a mental game.
Yeah.
It's a mental game.
I think it's that London one, that London Barrow one's the real juicy one.
I don't know.
I think Barrow London have played three cup ties in 3 weeks, and each week we've thought, this will be the week that they might. Did any of us think that they would beat? Did I say they might beat Featherstone?
Yes.
But there wasn't.
No, I think we both did. You had them the week before to beat. No, I didn't the week before. Anyway, we'll move on.
But they've played three cup finals to get to where they are, and you'd be very surprised if, having put so much effort into it, that the one that they should win is the one that they slip up on.
Yeah.
It's a banana skin. I don't like it.
Let's go back to the old days where we had all the teams in all one massive division. Like in Argentinian football. Have them all in.
And
the team
that won the title was done on percentages.
Yeah, you have all the teams play each other once and then randomly play somebody else.
What start would you give West Wales against St Helens? How much start?
But there's only so much time, isn't there? There's only so much time. Well, they didn't get 100 this past them this week. So,
no,
you know,
improve it.
The amazing thing about West Wales that I've learned recently is that the players get paid 300 quid a week, and that's not win or loss. They get paid 300 quid a week.
Do they?
Yeah, I know. I've heard that from a very, very good source.
You think you're signing for them?
That's a lot more than some players in the Championship get.
That's amazing. Scully's just come on the phone. Perhaps, get me to West Wales, he says.
Perhaps they're putting some money into the Salford fund. Goodness me!
They've got some backers, haven't they? Obviously.
Yeah. Obviously, what you need to do is sign a load of students like Coventry, and then don't play them because they're off playing for England in the Student Four Nations.
I'll tell you what, are they back now this week?
Yes, they will be. The finals.
That'll be an interesting team selection, won't it?
Well, they've got two games this week, so they'll probably need all of them.
Possibly.
By the way, because this will be the last check today, we need the National Lottery music to build up the tension. How much money have we sold for it? No, it's still 525 quid.
Oh.
I wish I would have put like 40p in all.
Oh.
And they do, you know, they have to pay like a fee to get the money out of the bank account to get this money from the third party. So they won't get all that.
Just give us a pen, Phil. Let's get the predictions in for the biggest games of the season?
Pen. I would if I had one.
Oh,
do I know pens
too warm
any
for a
radio
jacket
station?
Today.
Everyone nicks them.
Oh, right, well, we can get it off the thing later. Right, John. St Helens Warrington, Thursday night, gets the weekend off and running.
St Helens, they're just they're on a roll. They're going to win again.
Thank you, Neil. St Helens. Right, Phil?
Yeah, I think Warrington will have one eye on the semi-final. Saints will want to go into their game with Catalan, I think, keeping this winning run going. So it'd be an interesting one. Will they? Will either of them will either of those teams rest players for the semis, do you think?
I don't think Saints, with the way they've been operating, it's just, you know, keeping that winning team together, keeping those combinations.
Yeah, I'll go Saints.
Saints.
Saints by four.
Okay. I also go St Helens. Huddersfield Wakefield.
I think another team that's on a bit of a roll, Huddersfield. I think they will be too strong for Wakefield, who might have enjoyed that 72 point, you know, with a bit of after celebrations.
Well, Chris Chester said himself he was going to have a beer, so.
Yeah, well, open season. I think the Giants in that one.
Yeah, I think Huddersfield don't want to keep this run going under Simon Wolford. I think they need to put in some really, really of their best performances now at home, because season tickets will go on sale soon, and I think Huddersfield.
Over 65.5 points. It's going to be one of those games where Huddersfield will probably win. I'm not bothered.
David Fafita scores an 80-yard try.
Yeah, 100-yard try.
They do own one, Wakey. They got knocked out of the cup by Huddersfield.
If only things could have been different. Huddersfield will probably win.
I'm going Wakefield. Hull Kingston Rovers. The hottest ticket in town.
Yeah, very important derby. I think Hull KR, actually.
What?
I think Todd Carney's going to come in and. I think Hull KR. I think they're going to get right for the middle eights, and Hull FC still with a lot of injuries. So I think Rovers.
Rovers missing three players through suspension. So I'll go with Hull.
Draw.
Okay. You know what? Now you said okay, I just can't back up. There's got to be a response.
Can't back up.
I'll go home. Salford Leeds.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately to say for yourself and Rich, but yeah, Leeds. I think Leeds.
We don't get Leeds. It matters a lot considering
both teams are in the middle eights.
Let them get into a false sense of security. you win, lads.
5 points from six for James Lowe's. What a coach.
Beating Salford and Widnes as you go into the eight. Whoa, what form that is.
Get your T-shirts out. Get the DVDs out, lads.
No point asking me, is it?
Right. Rich?
All Leeds away.
I'm going Salford, because I think... I think... Even I can't sell this. I think he'll leave a lot out for the cup.
He won't.
No?
He wants to be informed.
Wigan Catalan.
I think Catalan's actually. I think.
Are you not worried they might leave a load out, given they've got the semi-final after?
I think, again, they're on a bit of a roll, and, you know, the boost that... Taking Wigan's scalp at the DW would be huge going to the semi. I think there are a big chance in this one.
I'm with you. I think Catalan probably will rest a few. So I'm going to go Wigan on that basis.
Okay. Good stuff. Rich?
Wigan.
Okay. I'll go the Dragons then. Team news dependent. And then on Sunday, Widnes... No, we're not even doing that. right. Which of the teams is more likely to lose then? Of the three, to lose London or Halifax? Have we done this? Is London the one we're worried about?
Yeah, I think so. If there is going to be a shock, that's where. But I don't think there will be. I think London under Danny Ward are a really resilient beast, as they showed getting the draw in Toulouse and him being disappointed that it wasn't a win. So I don't see that changing.
Okay. We shall see.
Scotty would say Barrow, wouldn't he, if he was here? I should read this from Ian. Let me find it, because he knows about Wales. We should do. I think you'll find it's more like £300 a month. If Westworld were playing £300 a week, they'd have no problems attracting players, says Ian.
Scotty, you've been sacked again. Never mind. We're live on Friday at Huddersfield Wakefield.
I've got to give this from Toby. Waiting for Leeds to release as bad as it gets after they get relegated.
Very good.
See what he did there. He's a winner.
Can't wait for Brian McDermott's interviews in that. Surely be happy as a Wakefield lad with the result yesterday. sticking pins into a Gary Hetherington voodoo doll somewhere.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Well, we can't wait for round 23, can we? We can't wait. I'm on holiday next week, lads, so I'm not here.
Oh, no.
Not
you,
here.
We're missing out on big excitement coming up.
Really... I mean, what would that be?
Well, I don't know. We can't. Can we say it yet? Or can we say it?
I don't know. What you're on about?
Coming up in the first week in August.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go with it.
Women's Challenge Cup final. Shield, yeah. Live.
On proper sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be. Could be. Looking forward to it. If only it had been at the Jungle. Or at Headingley. Or at Bellevue. Or at Featherstone. I don't know, we've got a Warrington.
We're coming to get you, everybody. We're coming to get you.
We are indeed.
Free sports.
That'll affect the crowd.
It will. Yeah, well, millions will be watching. Millions. The internet is available.
They all of Afghanistan.
They even have it in China, apparently.
Yes. North Korea. Kim Jong-un will be there, hoping that the Pyongyang Pylons have got to the final.
He will.
He'll be there.
John, thanks as ever. Richard, thanks as ever. Probably lost a few more listeners. Never mind. Phil, thank you as ever. You can download the podcast, and we will speak to you very shortly indeed. We'll see you on Friday. We are live at Huddersfield to see if Wakefield can keep up their good form after they steamrolled Hull at the weekend. We'll see you then.